It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 17th day of August, 2021. This is the Horn, headon.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's also where we keep the access to the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza, chat extravaganza that is the Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific, yes, and if you should happen to wander by right now, you will be met by early arrivers Anatole, Jeremy in Vermont, Squeaky, Stockton Larry, and greeted by the same and carefully, capably moderated by longtime, inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, while being a third stage guild navigator, has still chosen not to fold space because, well, the man cave is a manferno. Yes, yes, indeed. Ooh, yeah, I'm proud of that one. And he is capably assisted by pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan. Hail, hail, the gang's all here. Yeah. Hi, I'm Robin. It's Titanic Tuesday on the Horn. Remember, Titanic Tuesday is that day that we reserve for noting the manifestations of Titanic intellect, largely along the lines of the right wing, but sometimes we have Titanic intellect from other quarters, maybe kind of this sort of this evening. So we'll get to that in fairly short order, but every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. Thank you, Thomas, at FYINation.com, letting me know loud and clear over there. Much obliged. And thanks go out to our subscribers for the 17th day of the month. And that means thanks to Laborman Gary out in New Mexico. Thank you so very kindly indeed. And thank you for making the 17th of the month a day with a subscriber in it, Gary. Thank you so much. And thanks for all the years of being one of the primary sponsors of Bruce's Memorial Challenge at the beginning of the month. Thank you. Thank you very much indeed. So the fundraising goal for this evening is actually considerably higher than what I'm about to say because, next week I'll be gone beginning the 24th, and next week is fully unfunded save for the 24th. The 24th is fully funded, but the 25th, the 26th, the 27th, the 30th, and the 31st of August are completely unfunded. Those also happen to be days that I will be away from the microphone on the one hand, exciting, but the other hand, terrifying journey. And as as is the case so often, we will begin with Joey's Journal this evening. Subject line, straight talk. President Biden has been seeking to increase government assistance to low and middle-income Americans amid a pandemic in which many lost their jobs. Republicans, on the other hand, have said that Biden's economic plan is fueling inflation and serves as a disincentive for people to work. Now, apparently, that's got Jeffrey just fueled right up and ready to take off. It's all in caps, but I'm not going to yell in the Jeffrey voice. No, you dumbass Republicans. What fuels inflation is starting unfunded wars like Afghanistan and then giving the rich these endless tax cuts. Forget your fucking endless wars. Stop with the endless tax cuts. You right-wing hypocrites are always telling us how you want to bring peace and democracy to countries like Afghanistan, but don't seem to care if we have free and fair elections right here, or care if people here in the United States have enough to eat. As far as disincentives to work are concerned, most normal people do not want to work in proximity with people that will not get vaxxed or wear a mask during a pandemic. Not to mention work for starvation wages, which is most of the reason we need food stamps in the first place. Well, attaboy, Jeffrey. He's correct. Food stamps or the SNAP program once enjoyed broad bipartisan support. However, since Trump tried to limit eligibility for food aid during a pandemic through proposed restrictions, which were overturned by federal courts, SNAP has evolved into a partisan flashpoint, as these good, God-fearing conservatives have fought to shrink the program to the poor during a pandemic. Now, hold on a minute. Let's remember our history, okay, shall we? And this I add editorially, as I do from time to time. And what I mean by that is, let's do remember that from somewhere around 2009 to 2017, Republicans liked to refer to Barack Obama as the food stamp president. We ain't never had so many people need food stamps since that one. And that Kenyan Muslim you slurper entered our White House. Remember that? Yeah, that's really pre-Trump. That's one of those things we have to guard against, is thinking that every awful thing in this country began with Trump, because it didn't. It began with people like W. and Richard B. Dick Cheney before he dicks you, wandering around for a year or two without a freaking pulse. And then eventually getting some decent human being's heart beating in his monstrously evil chest. It goes back, as we've said on so many occasions, to old 666 himself, Ronald Wilson Reagan.
Yeah, well, Mommy, ketchup is a vegetable, and I'll be one too.
Right. But anyway, back to the journal. As far as Afghanistan is concerned, Joey writes, oh God, Jeffrey's raging mad right now. Yes, I will attempt to calm down now, but as far as Afghanistan is concerned, why don't you blame the war criminals who started it along with Iraq, George W. Bush and Dick Cheney? Even a giraffe knows that the only reason we were in those countries was for the oil in Iraq and the minerals in Afghanistan. There was no way we were going to bring democracy to a country that had not been controlled since the days of Alexander Haig, because everybody knows Alexander Haig was the I'm in charge here guy.
Oh, Daddy, I think you mean Alexander the Great.
Can't get anything by that kid. Now, furthermore, why didn't the United States invade Somalia to bring peace and democracy to that region, especially after the Black Hawk Down incident? Could it have been because there were no oil wells or minerals there? Well, anyways, the invasion of the capital city of Afghanistan by the Taliban, it appears we had a cobble. Oh, dear. Cobble.
Yeah, following the cobble, it appears the president of Afghanistan is Ghani. Gone. Nowhere to be found.
Yeah, you're right, kid. And by the way, Carol Baker was great last night, and I like the fact that she works high atop people's homes. By all means, Carol, make sure you get the progressive message out, and don't be afraid to shout it from the rooftops. Carol is a roofer, or office manager for a roofing concern, for those who didn't know. Just to set things straight, I will have you know, Jeffrey does know the difference between gender and sexual preference. Upon his reference to trans tennis player Renee Richards becoming a woman, and Jeffrey referring to her as not being straight, I think Jeffrey got it right, Robin, because Renee Richards became a woman and sexually preferred another woman, and one in particular being Martina Navratilova. The two women were shown in a picture appearing amorous toward one another. Well, that's okay. Let's deal with that for a minute, though. The becoming a woman part. Don't say that. That's not what that is. It's not what it's about. It's what one has always been. It's not a matter of becoming. It's kind of like the ED on the end of transgender that people put. It is, like everything else, so complicated. Just, you know, take that to heart. Junior responding to the picture.
That's funny. When I saw the picture of Renee Richards and Martina, I thought that...
Oh, no. Junior... That's enough out of you, Junior. You're starting to sound like your father. However, I guess Martina Navratilova told Renee Richards, I'm a Navratilova, not a not tray your love. Jeanette broke Renee's heart. So with that in mind, Robin, we're all happy for your transition. Glad you're not
straight now, considering you're now a woman who loves... Let's leave that all kind of... Okay. But yes. Jeffrey with long-distance dedication. Yes, with all the straight talk, I would like to dedicate George Strait's beautiful ballad. All right. There's Jeffrey's cowbell from yesterday, courtesy of Darlene and Bill Bulrick. This has been Joey's Journal for Titanic Tuesday, the 17th of August, with Jeffrey lifting some shingles up to Sister Carol up on the rooftop. And there is, in fact, a $25 Sing It Sister Carol challenge on the table. Thank you. Thank you, guys. And so if that happens, we will be down to 450 to go in terms of the fundraising hole for this week so far. 450. Thank you very, very, very kindly, Joey and Jeffrey. All right, then. Where does that leave us? That's true. That's true. You do, Rauch. I was talking about the 17th being a subscriberless day without Gary in New Mexico. Here we are at the Titanic Tuesday analysis, I suppose. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. It's kind of a little miracle. We've got actual... It's kind of like talking about certain things that happen on golf courses that you don't say out loud or they'll start happening. But we're not blipping yet. That's a win. Okay. I'm not starting. I'm not starting down this road. It's too complicated. When I said sometimes Titanic Tuesday is a... more than just a right-wing palaver. Let's start with a note that came in from Ron in Raleigh a little bit ago. May I digress one more time? Yesterday, I sent an email trying to explain the Soviet, Afghan, and U.S. triangle starting in 1979. It seems that the mainstream media has either forgotten this dynamic or are purposely leaving out the facts. Well, how can you forget something that you never learned, Ron? I mean, I'm not giving them cover or defending them, but most of the so-called mainstream media doesn't go back further than Kim Possible, for God's sakes. Just saying. It seems the mainstream media has either forgotten this dynamic or are purposely leaving out the facts. The U.S. armed Osama bin Laden and the insurgents that fought the Soviets as a proxy war. Bin Laden had been expelled from his home in Saudi Arabia because of conflicts with the royal family. He formed Al-Qaeda because of the royal family allowing the U.S. to have a base on sacred Saudi sand, the homeland of Mecca, a heresy in what passed for his mind. After bankrolling and helping to plan and execute the 9/11 attacks, he moved his base to Afghanistan. Al-Qaeda was at most 400 fighters. After the attack, the U.S. American attacked Afghanistan to destroy Al-Qaeda. Most people are aware of what happened then. Bin Laden escaped and was finally tracked down and assassinated in Pakistan after we kind of deliberately let him go at the caves of Tora Bora. Al-Qaeda at this point was effectively done. Then, for some reason, we switched our focus to the Taliban, which had nothing to do with 9/11. The reason we did this was part of a massive grift by the Pentagon and defense contractors. We left Afghanistan to go to Iraq to destroy another country that had nothing to do with 9/11. Iraq, though run by an authoritarian leader, was a secular country which had a Ba'athist government which practiced Islam, but it was not an Islamist country, but after our invasion is now a sectarian Islamist country. The U.S. continues to go to countries whose cultures we don't understand and leave a big mess. If the people in Afghanistan get tired of the Taliban, they'll rise up and fight. If not, they'll live with what they have. It's not our job to fight other countries' battles. Everything Ron says is true. And the fact of the matter is, we have a long history of horrible, horrible foreign policy, and we've discussed this on a number of occasions. But this seems like it might be a nice place to inject this one little moment. I ran across this earlier today. Once in a while, We, and this is one of those differences that having the right administration in Washington makes. I mean, in light of the sickening failures and the horrors and the shame of the last, well, particularly few days, but God knows few weeks and 20 years of the Afghan invasion, it's nice to see that some portion of the United States government, in terms of how we reach out to other countries, actually does something right once in a while. I know I mentioned, but, you know, Joey started it mentioning trans stuff, so I'm going to share this. Because, like I said, I'm always at hazard any time I mention that now. God damn it, she turned it into a fucking trans show. God damn it. No. But the issues are there, and they are real. You know, I wonder what efforts are being made to get members of the LGBTQ, QQIA plus community out of Afghanistan, because the beards will murder them first. So I don't know what country she's in, but I saw a post by someone earlier today, and it was simply titled "Thank You, American Siblings." I was planning on DIY HRT. That means do-it-yourself hormone replacement therapy. That's what a lot of trans people do who don't have access to quality care or have to try to hide. She explains herself. I was planning on DIY HRT and hoping for the best, as government hospitals here aren't reliable for trans care and private hospitals are way out of my budget, but I guess not. Today, I went into a clinic funded by USAID and PEPFAR, a U.S. program for worldwide AIDS HIV response, for an initial consult for hormones, including baseline blood tests, and it was all free, as well as anonymous testing for HIV STDs for a nominal fee. They also had snacks, drinks, condoms, and lube for free. I got confirmation about using the drugs and doses I want for my transition goals and a return appointment to monitor my hormones. I had such a great experience. I was really nervous going in, but once I sat down and checked in, it was clear that I was among friends. Almost all the staff were trans or gay, and everyone was super, super nice. It was the first time in a long time that I didn't feel like the odd one out among strangers, and that I felt comfortable publicly identifying as trans. It was so nice to relax and not feel out of place, not have to worry about being judged, and not wonder how I was being perceived. So a big thank you and hugs from my American friends for the help. I really appreciate it. I saw that, and it went a long way toward kind of making my afternoon. Because this story is never going to make the for-profit media. It's not bleeding yet. So it's not leading yet. There's nowhere that you can place obvious blame. Oh, yes, there is. Because, like I said, what a difference an inauguration makes. This wouldn't be taking place under Trump Administration 2.0. It wasn't taking place under Trump Administration 1.0. Not the kind of thing the dim leader administration would have done. No, this is because a number of heroic Americans went to the polls, damned well doggedly determined to see their votes cast and counted, stood in lines, endured the hatred and the attempts to suppress their vote. And they cast those votes, and we cast out that orange monstrosity into, hopefully, the outer darkness, never to be seen again. But we can do right things. Notice there's no bullets involved in that little account. There are no bombs. So, of course, that you're not, like I said, you're not going to hear about it. But dadgum, isn't that just lovely? We can do something simply decent for people who desperately need it. I'm just kind of, well, like I said, in the midst of all the crap, that made me feel, I don't know what country. But that's one more human being who can at least try to live authentically. Oh, I know. PEPFAR was a program, as Steve in New York points out, PEPFAR is a program that W launched in 2003. But I guarantee you it was not supporting trans medicine at the time. I promise. That's something that comes in with a president who acknowledges the existence of trans people and becomes the first president ever to do so. So just a reminder that amidst all the monumental screw-ups, we, you know, even a blind hog finds an acorn now and then, and apparently we found one. I get it, Jake. No worries. So I know. I'm not blipping yet. Steve in New York said, "Oh dear, Robin. When you say yet, you're daring the universe to make it happen, or even wishing that it would. When you merely say not blipping, is a statement of fact. You're not saying yeah to the universe." Well, I wasn't trying to do that, but well, there is no try. There is only do or not do. I know. But, we'll see. Look, it's cloudy outside, and I'm not whispering into the... We had that rocking and rolling thunderstorm yesterday, and somehow managed to stay on the air, but it's cloudy again, and there's... when the weather forecast is for, who knows, you know, maybe sort of kind of showers and thunderstorms and stuff, there's always the possibility that everything will go, and we're gone. So, once again... the standard disclaimer applies for this time of the year. If the program suddenly disappears, you'll know that the internet and or... Ooh, Steve's going to hate that. The internet and or the rickety coal-fried power grid have run under the bed and hidden. Oh, goody. I love it when that happens. Ron in Raleigh says, I love Kim Possible and Ron Stoppable. Thanks for the shout-out.
I know.
Yeah. Thank you, Jake. Jake says, still love you, the show, and most of the Horn family. I'm listening now for a decade or more. And we're so glad you are, Jake. Thank you so very much. Thank you for your help. Did you hear, Megan asks, Jim Acosta from CNN just reported that Governor Greg Abbott from Texas has tested positive for COVID. Instant karma, anybody? Yeah, I know. And he will, I don't know, maybe Ron Monkey Up DeClantis can send him some Regeneron or something, because that grifty little bastard's out there saying, you know what, we're going to set up a monoclonal antibodies clinic for anybody that gets the Rona. And just turns out he's actually invested in the company that makes the shit. Who knew? But at the very same time that Megan was sending that along, Megan scooped the New York Times, because there it is. Breaking news, Governor Greg Abbott of Texas tested positive for coronavirus. He had banned mask and vaccination mandates as the virus surged in the state. And, of course, well, we don't know if he's vaccinated. We don't know how far his loyalty to his maggot base extends. And we don't know if he was wearing a mask. And this is scary stuff, and this is why I'm... Ugh. Kind of wishing I wasn't leaving next week. Yeah, I know. No, I'm not going to say that and then duck Silent R. Lamar. I rather enjoy not starting firestorms just for the sake of starting them. Billable Rick, I'm behind here by about 10 minutes. Did Joey get a cowbell for his reference to President Ghani as gone and nowhere to be found? Yes, I think I did award that. I know I did for Kabul Cabal. Mm-hmm. Now the Washington Post is reporting Greg Abbott has tested positive for coronavirus. Why don't they? Let's just put some yeah 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 yeah. I gotta be careful what I say to the universe. But play stupid games, win stupid prizes. How about Ken Paxson, the indicted alleged felon attorney general? How about Dan Patrick, the lieutenant governor? I mean, if the goddess of irony is going to work, girl, go to it. But like I said, Titanic Tuesday I keep trying to get started. I ran across this from NPR today, and it kind of made me want to eat dirt and run rabbits. Eight paradoxes that sum up America's 20-year mission. Michigan? Really? Hello, my baby. Hope to know. Eight paradoxes that sum up America's 20-year mission in Afghanistan. I knew. We'll get to the story in a minute. Stephen, New York. The goddess will not be mocked. Yes, I know it's passive voice, but it's someone else's quotation. Actually, it comes from the Bible, and it is, God is not mocked, which is even an even worse construction, but blame that on Elizabethan English. By the way, your use of Andor is so wrong. Damn it, I love you, but wow, using that is so beneath you. Oh, I only did it for you. At NPR, eight paradoxes that sum up America's 20-year mission in Afghanistan. And silly me, I actually read it. Yeah. And it starts off with the usual palaver. The Taliban's... No, we're not going to use the Jeffrey voice. Well, that's true. Jake says in regard to the Greg Abbott getting the Rona. Couldn't have happened to a dumber guy. Well, I mean, there is Duplantis. Goddess of irony working overtime lately. By the way, anti-vax right-wing talker Phil Valentine is reported to be in grave condition from his COVID. His wife is asking for your prayers. Oh, you've got all the tots and pears. You betcha, Val. Oh, that's downright Shakespearean on your part, Jake. You know, what does Mercutio say? Romeo and Juliet? After Romeo screws up and gets him stabbed? Ask after me on the morrow, cousin, and you will find me a very grave fellow. But no, Greg Abbott will get the best care that money can buy. He probably will get the Regeneron stuff. And he'll get, dexamethasone? They'll fire him up with, steroids there, and he'll probably want to tear his shirt off and show a Superman tattoo or something, just like he's got Emperor Nitwit Nero. I know. Oh, there's the Wall Street Journal. You know, this is kind of just watching this in real time is kind of an exercise in American journalism. Breaking news from the Wall Street Journal: Greg Abbott has the coronavirus. Oh, well. Well, you know, Billable, you got a point there. You may be absolutely right. There's only one response to news like that. Greg Abbott and all that. Let's see. Maybe we can make that happen. Yeah. Yeah, here it comes. Where's the... Okay.
Cannot tell the difference between a put-on laugh and a real belly laugh.
Yeah, this is after he got caught.
And like I said, a merry heart does good like a medicine. So, the joy of the Lord is our strength.
Yeah, fuck off, Kenneth. We were looking for the Kenneth Copeland laughs. There. What he was doing right there, Kenneth Copeland, just said, well, they can't tell that I was just making fun. I can't tell the difference between a real laugh and a belly laugh and a fake laugh. You're the one who was laughing, dude. I mean, it is what it is. But, you know, we try to deal with requests from the community, so, you know, we'll let this stupid little ad play out and see if maybe this is the right one after all. Because everybody gets such a kick out of this. What's that? You said Greg Abbott's got the Rona, did you? Yeah, here we go. Because nobody understands Kenneth Copeland. Now, where do you... Oh, there it is.
Said that Joe Biden is president. Ha! 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 Yeah! Yeah!
Yeah. What's that? Greg Abbott's got the Rona. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But anyway, okay, so we got that taken care of, and now we can actually go back to the... just by way of keeping up, Trey in Kentucky Stan's been reporting per evening on the positivity rate in Kentucky Stan. Kentucky Stan's COVID positivity rate is now 12.40%. That was yesterday. Over the weekend, Trey reported at a party, not a fan of bourbon. I know, Kentucky Stan, I don't like bourbon, but the rye just hit better, as you can see by my spelling. People at the party I'm at are saying Delta is not going to be that bad. I say they're all fucked in the head. It's bad now. Logic and reason are in short supply here, Robin. I'm in a COVID crock pot. What a line. I got it. Yeah, that's a cowbell. Trey in Kentucky Stand in a COVID crock pot. And so yesterday, the Kentucky Stand COVID positivity rate had risen to 12.4%. And today, Kentucky Stand COVID positivity rate 12.47%. It just keeps going up. And schools start this week. Yeah, I don't know how much starting they're going to do. Like I said yesterday, the COVIDiots and the mask holes and the spreadnecks gathered to protest the Fayette County Health Department for recommending that children wear masks in the local school. You know, Jesus can't see their face. Yeah, I know. But anyway, back to the NPR story that got a nomination for this evening. The Taliban's takeover of Afghanistan and removal of the... I know what voice we need for that. Taliban's takeover of Afghanistan and removal of the U.S.-backed government was stunning in its speed and tragic in its impact. But it does not surprise experts who have monitored the U.S. reconstruction efforts for the past 20 years. The reasons why are summed up by 8 paradoxes that are at the heart of a U.S. government watchdog just released review of the mission. The mission? The mission? God, that's some milksoppy language. How about the stupid failed war that we never should have started? But that's kind of at the heart of the problem here. John Sopko heads an outfit, the one that introduced, that released the report. We can't rewind the clock in Afghanistan, but we are doing similar work in other countries, and we should learn from the 20 years and not try to forget it and wash it away or sweep it under the rug. Oh, go tell it to Northrop Grumman, for God's sakes. According to this report, they tried to root out corruption, but they also wanted to jumpstart the economy with billions of dollars, and apparently one is going to attract the other. They tried to improve formal governance and eliminate a culture of impunity, but then they also wanted to maintain security, even if it meant dealing with and making more powerful, corrupt, and predatory assholes. They wanted to give the Afghan security forces a competitive edge over the Taliban, but they also wanted to make sure that they didn't get any equipment and skills that couldn't be sustained after we left. And, you know, they wanted the Afghans to do their own rebuilding, so they wanted to run the money through the puppet Afghan government. But at the same time, they also wanted to keep waste, fraud, and abuse down. Hell, we can't even do that here. They wanted to have free and fair elections in Afghanistan, but they also wanted to recognize and respect Afghan sovereignty. They wanted to focus on making immediate progress on security and governance, but they also wanted to build long-term capacity for Afghan officials. So these are all supposedly paradoxes. And then, bang, empower women to become more educated and economically independent, but also to be culturally sensitive and respect Afghan traditions. You know, like making women wear beekeeper suits. And so this report from SIGAR, or SIGAR, S-I-G-A-R, the Special Inspector General for Afghanistan Reconstruction, it goes on at length about how this didn't work. But you know what's nowhere to be found in the SIGAR report? I mean, you know and I know, right? Never should have been there in the first place. We never should have done this. You know, because that's the blame game, and that's something else that I have seen of late. And that is, who cares whose fault it was? This is awful, and we have to, and now we just have to fix the problem. Well, there's no fixing problems. You remember way back at the beginning of this century when Colin Powell was throwing away his career by backing up dim leaders' desire to get some sort of weird Oedipal retribution on Saddam? Hey, fuck Saddam, he tried to kill my daddy. We're taking him out. Remember that? Because I do. And really, I have to be cognizant of the fact that there's a lot of Americans. I mean, at best, okay? I mean, if I think back to my experience with, like, Watergate, for instance. I was playing baseball at the time. I remember coming home from baseball practice and the Watergate hearings were on. You know, so maybe I was 9, 10? But I do have memories of that, so that's kind of the benchmark standard that I'm using here. So a person would have to have been born in about 1990 to have something resembling a working memory of the beginning of all of this madness. So that means there's, you know, and it's weird for me because we've only got one kid who fits into that demographic. And I've never sat down and said, you know, hey, what do you, because, well, better not to. But when I say things like, I'm so old, I remember that, it really is kind of that way, and it's that way for a lot of us. We remember these things because we were adults and lived through them. I'm not going to go into the laundry list, but, you know, Iran-Contra was the same way for me. It was a long time ago now, but it feels like yesterday. And so, too, I imagine for a whole lot of... Maybe there are people in... I know there are people in this country who don't understand. Because, by God, Facebook exists, and all you got to do is wander around there for a little bit, and you'll find that out for sure. Things like, you know, I don't know why Biden had to go into Afghanistan in the first place. That's not necessarily offered ironically or tongue-in-cheek. The level of informational awareness in this country is shockingly low. And that in itself is ironic because we are a country that constantly, I mean, we consume information in this country now since the advent of the internet the way that a whale constantly swims with its mouth open consuming krill or plankton or whatever, you know? But we get to ask the question, okay, what if the plankton being consumed is, you know, fake plankton? And therein lies the rub. But you would think in a report like, I mean, the Special Inspector General for the Afghanistan Reconstruction, really? and you can't find room, you can't, for even a sentence in there saying, okay, everything we're about to say is with the caveat that we never should have gone in there in the first place, and every general who ever advised it should have been cashiered long ago. Nope. Nope. This morning on my filthy morning habit, who was there? Suddenly, with his reputation rehabilitated, H.R. McMaster. Former, what was he, chief of staff to Nitwit Nero? And there we are. Talking about, you know, well, you know, we certainly mishandled this. President Biden, you know, buddy, you lost your credibility to comment when you decided to go to work for that that anti-constitutional, treason-encouraging jackass. And quitting did not rehabilitate you. I mean, what's next? Do we get General Mattis next? Talking about how, you know, if we'd only sent in a half a million more Marines, by God, we could have taken it. And so, not that you're going to want to watch it or anything, but it's almost like he listens to this program. Hey, COVID Caligula. In the words of Richard B. Dick Cheney, big time Dick Cheney before he dicks you, go fuck yourself. And that one was for free. We didn't even have any fuck Trump challenges on the table this evening. The office of Donald J. Trump. Still using the presidential seal, by the way.
I will be interviewed by Sean Hannity tonight at 9 p.m. on Fox News. Enjoy.
It's so pathetic. It's such an absolutely ridiculous, dysfunctional, abuser-abusee relationship there. How many times has he gone off on Fox News? But by God, well, he'll certainly go on air with that life support system for a haircut, the Hannity job.
Give me a Hannity job.
Mm-hmm. But I do remember these things. I remember the stories. I think this one was actually out of Baghdad, but the so-called footballs, shrink-wrapped wads of $100 bills that they threw around on the tarmac at the Baghdad airport. But really and for truly, if you're tasked with writing something as important as the official report of the Special Inspector General for Afghanistan Reconstruction, and you can't, for political reasons or reasons of employment, begin it by saying, you know, NB, nota bene, we never should have been there in the first place. Because that's the bottom line of all this. And to the people who say, well, you know, who cares whose fault it was? I care. Do you care? Because actually figuring out whose fault it is matters. Otherwise, you wind up in a sort of, I don't know, Albert Camus, Franz Kafka sort of universe where, you know, let's say somebody runs over the person in the street. And instead of arresting the person driving the vehicle that did the running over, they just go and randomly yank somebody out of their house and say, well, okay, we're going to charge you and try you, bub. I mean, that's Camus' The Trial, isn't it? Because I think it kind of is. It matters whose fault this is. And at the end of the day, hate that phrase, In the final analysis, there is nothing to be said about Afghanistan that does not have to begin with and end with George W. Bush. Period. Jake says, I really date myself when I tell people I remember vividly the assassinations of MLK and RFK. I was 8 in 1968, working with youngers. I'm astounded at how little they know of history. Many don't even know what 9/11 is. I know. You know, once upon a time, this country, for years afterward, marked the fall of the Alamo.
every year.
And after a while, it just kind of went, ah, no. Look now at how much time we spend on December 7th, 1941. Look at how much time we spend talking about, for instance, the 5th and 6th of August, and the time when the United States opened the so-called nuclear age by becoming the only country ever to deliberately drop a nuclear device or an atomic device on a civilian population. Not saying I disagree with you, Steve, in New York says, but why does it matter whose fault it is? Well, Lawyer Steve, you tell me. All liability is based on fault. You have to figure out whose fault it is before you can figure out how not to have it happen again. And yes, as Joe Biden pointed out, President Biden pointed out, four presidents presided over this stupid war in Afghanistan, and he said he was determined not to hand it off to a fifth that was as it was handed off to him. You know, that probably had to sting Barack Obama a little bit. But then again, as noted, Barack Obama campaigned around saying, Afghanistan was the right war for the right reasons. Yeah, I think the way it ended sort of showed that that wasn't true. Jeremy in Vermont says, Rick Scott just went there on Joe Biden and the 25th Amendment. Yeah. Senator Skeletor, the biggest fraud merchant in the history of the United States Senate and possibly the governor's mansion in Florida, has tweeted, after the disastrous events in Afghanistan, we must confront a serious question. Is Joe Biden capable of discharging the duties of his office, or has time come to exercise the provisions of the 25th Amendment? Well, if only somewhere besides us had a meaningful discussion of Section 4 of the 25th Amendment, say, somewhere between, January 20th, 2017 and January 20th, 2021. I mean, just saying. Mm-hmm. Yeah. As to Nitwit Nero having a little set-down with the Hannity job this evening, Stephen New York says, when did the term interview become a synonym for fillet? Well, that's just a mental image I didn't need, Steve. And, you know, that's on you for what you just did to the dinner hour in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone. Because you didn't designate who's doing which or if it's a 69 situation or... No, that's just... Ugh. Nobody wants to see that. Nobody. Mm-mm. I fear, says Ron in Raleigh, we will not be rid of this orange skid mark on the tidy whiteys of American politics until he's... We will not be rid of this orange skid mark on the tidy whiteys of American politics until he's dead, dead, dead. George Bush has at least had the decency to fade away. Trump keeps opening his fucking pie hole. Imagine the hagiography when he finally leaves us the fuck alone. Oh, I know. It will be worse than the Nixon funeral. And if there happens to be a Democrat in the White House when he finally goes to his long, hot home, oh, I hope he doesn't pull a Bill Clinton and go and get all weepy at the funeral. Not a correct analogy as to whose fault it is. Fault only matters when we're going to actually prosecute that person accountable, which is why your someone over someone else is not legit. However, in cases like this, it matters so that we know not to listen to those people who did it. I think it's six of one and half dozen of another. There's formal prosecutions, of course. There's also civil suits. But sometimes we, you know, to extend that metaphor, sometimes the legislature takes action to make sure, you know, maybe to change the speed limit on the road where somebody got run over from 55 to 25 because it turns out, or 15 because it turns out it's a school zone. There are multiple ways of correcting mistakes. And most of the people who are saying, okay, thank you, Bill. Kafka wrote the trial, not Camus. Okay, yeah, Camus was the stranger. My bad. But anyway, thank you for that. A lot of the, you know, who cares whose fault it was, is coming from the people who want to say that it's Joe Biden's fault. And it's not. It's so not. And even and then there are the people who are saying, well, you know, why didn't we do more to get people out? Well, see, the CIA lied to him. Funny how good the CIA is at that lying business. And the generals gave him bullshit information, too. Yeah, the buck stops there. He's not, you know, he's not Trump. He's not going to blame him. He understands that quote from Kennedy after the Bay of Pigs that success has a million fathers, but failure is an orphan. And maybe the way he handles this will tell us a lot more about his character than the way Trump failed told us about his. I don't know. But this will be used as a cudgel, as I've said before, and there's no getting around it. I mean, witness that bullshit from former governor and present Senator Skeletor of Florida, talking about 25th Amendment crap. And, you know, you can see it all over. You don't have to look very far. Jake Tapper had someone on his program talking about, you know, why we failed. We failed because we never should have invaded. That's why we failed. Or questions like, was the Taliban win inevitable? Again, remember, good God, please. The Taliban roared through without ever having fired a shot. Or at least not many shots, but they do love to have their pictures taken with their highfalutin semi-automatic assault rifles, you know, just like Republicans. Yeah. And so, you know, there's people like Jake Sullivan, the National Security Advisor to Joe Biden. And he said, you know, it wasn't inevitable Kabul had to fall, but the Afghan government didn't use the capacity the United States handed them. What we learned over the course of the past 2 weeks is if we had stayed one more year or two more years or five more years or 10 more years, no amount of training, equipping, or money or lives lost by the United States was going to put the Afghan army in a position to be able to sustain that country on its own. I don't know how much of that I agree with. Because it's not like the Afghan army lost the great big battle of Kabul. Or the great big battle of Kandahar. Or the great big battle of anywhere else. Somebody said, oh, the Taliban's coming. And all those brave, tough, strong, American-trained beards shit their pants, pissed them, and dropped their guns and ran for the hills, tearing their uniforms off as they went. Yeah. Then there's an Afghan war vet running for Senate in Missouri by the name of Lucas Kuntz, K-U-N-C-E, maybe Kuntz. I was there, he said. Today was inevitable. Anyone who tells you differently is either lying or would have kept us there forever. And so $2 trillion down the crapper. Somewhere around 2,500 million American service personnel dead. And what is Ronna Romney McDaniel doing? Yeah, never let the world forget that that's Mitt's niece, Willard's niece, Bishop Willard. Um, She issued a statement saying, "The Taliban spokesman has taken more questions from U.S. media in recent days than the President of the United States." Never mind the fact that, you know, yesterday he gave extensive, he addressed the nation about it all. Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, and senior senator from, or junior senator from Texas, accused a CNN reporter of being a Taliban cheerleader. And yet, there's his party chair stating that the Taliban are more willing to answer questions than the President of the United States is. Yeah. Clarissa Ward reported from the streets of Kabul for CNN. This is what raised the ire of Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America.
"As soon as we leave our compound, it's clear who is now in charge. Taliban fighters have flooded the capital. Smiling and victorious, they took this city of 6 million people in a matter of hours."
And apparently they took them in, like, you know, Toyota sedans and pickup trucks because, well, you know.
"Barely firing a shot."
But let me do it. Barely firing a shot. Clarissa Ward I don't think I said 2,500 million. But if I did, oh well. Clarissa Ward, in order to report from Kabul, had to completely cover her filthy, sinful hair and her filthy, sinful body. You know, because otherwise, those good Allah-fearing, upstanding, Quran believing, etc., etc., might have, you know, got all homicidal and rapey on her. Because it's a woman's fault. Right? Yeah. Something like 2,500 million American service members dead. Wow, that's a lot of American service members. I don't think I added a million in there. Maybe that was a blip. If I did, well, because Steve in New York heard the blip and said, "I told you. We just blipped." See, though, I mean, that's... Association is not causation, Steve. We know that here. Okay, I did say 2,500 million. Oh, well. You know, copy on the fly. Let's go back to Clarissa Ward and see what it was that got Rafaelito so worked up.
"Not. This is a sight I honestly thought I would never see. Scores of Taliban fighters, and just behind us, the U.S. Embassy compound."
You know, she looks like a nun from the 9th century in Europe. Not saying, just saying. That's not me commenting on her appearance. It's me commenting on a woman having to dress like a nun from the 9th or 8th century to be able to report from Kabul.
"Some carry American weapons. They tell us they're here to maintain law and order. Everything is under control. Everything will be fine," the commander says.
Says the big, dirty, talking beard.
"Nobody should worry."
What's your message to America right now?
"America already spent enough time in Afghanistan. They need to leave," he tells us.
"Hey, dipshit, we just did.
Lots of lives and lots of money. People come up to them to pose for photographs."
Chanting death to America, but they seem friendly at the same time. It's utterly bizarre.
And that is what earned the ire of Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America. They're mostly just chanting death to America, but they seem friendly at the same time. It's utterly bizarre. And Rafaelito then tweeted,
Is there an enemy of America for whom CNN won't cheerlead in mandatory burkas, no less?
Huh, yeah. It took a lot of guts for Clarissa Ward to don that beekeeper suit. That filthy sign of fucking oppression. In order to report there. But, you know, nonetheless, you know, Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz couldn't say that. No, she's cheerleading because she points out that there's something really weird about guys, you know, filthy, unbathed, dirty, barbarian beards hooting and grunting about death to America while at the same time posing for photographs and being kind of friendly. But that's Taliban 2.0, and you can you can't believe a word they say because the truth's not in them. They issued a statement today because they really want their money back, because right now we're saying no, the Afghan government money on deposit in U.S. banks is not going to the Taliban. Sorry, but there are other nationalities, other countries, who have been giving money aid to the Afghan government, and the Taliban would really like to have that sweet, sweet money. You know, they can use it to maybe feed some people or, I don't know, buy new leather thongs for the whips that they're going to use on women. And I don't say this as some sort of reason to reinvade or anything like that. No, that's bullshit. But I think we need to be clear-eyed and honest with ourselves about what's going to happen. Because they're going to do it. But right now they're saying, no, women will be allowed to appear in public and perhaps learn things within the parameters of Islamic law. Well, that's a problem. Because there are Islamic states that operate ostensibly by Islamic law, where, you know, like Saddam Hussein's former Iraq, where you have a secular society and women can prosper, you know, as long as they don't offend the supreme, majestic, noble, gracious, high, puissant, magnificent leader. And then there's the Afghanistans and the Saudi Arabias of the world, where a reading of Islamic law says that, you know, women are the source of all problems in the world and are fit for only creating boy babies and the occasional mistake that turns out to be a female baby who's going to grow up and, yeah, well, you get the idea. Yeah, I hate this shit. I do. Just do. And, it, again, not warmongering, but I'm having a hard time finding anything redeeming out of this bunch of dirty beards. And, of course, the fact that, Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, he has no shame. This is a dude who turned and ran from an ice storm. And he'd be right at home in an Afghan army uniform. What? The Taliban are in town? Pardon me, I'm shitting myself. Okay, can somebody get me a ticket to Cancun? And yet, well, what a different country we might just be a little bit if just a few more Texans hadn't voted for that talking turd. I know. Yeah. We in New York, the Saudis are radical. They let women drive. Where will this radical ideology end? I don't know. Thinking for themselves? Is there any... I mean, even Nitwit Nero included, is there anyone more just generally despicable than Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America? Oh, for fuck's sake, Megan says. If Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, thinks he can do better than the woman in the middle of the fucking Taliban reporting on the situation in Afghanistan, then he can get off his privileged white guy ass, get a plane out there, and report on it himself. the sheer nerve of that little prick bitching about the woman risking her life when he ran out to Cancun during the deep winter freeze in Texas just pisses me off. Damn, Texas, please vote this prick out in 2024 because I can't fucking stand him. I don't know how y'all deal with his stupid ass. Well, there's a lot of Baptists in Texas, Megan, and therein lies the sad answer. Steve in New York says, Cruz, you know what? I think he's so disgusting, I'd rather sit down to dinner with any of those Taliban men than Ted the Turd. I know. Query from Ron and Raleigh, do any of these Taliban have any background in governance, finance, diplomacy, or anything else having to do with running a country successfully? Let them run this backward-ass country right into the ground. And they will. They will. They'll do it while... No, they don't have any... No, of course not. Hell, most of them don't have any background in reading words or apparently bathing. I really despise them. And I'm not trying to dehumanize. I mean, it's what they are. And I reserve... the disdain and disgust I feel for the runaways, well, by God, the Afghan army felt real froggy as long as there was American blood there getting ready to be shed. And I don't like the way I'm feeling right now. It feels a little sour grapesy. Of course, we wouldn't be feeling this way if George W. Bush hadn't dragged us in there. And that's another one of those moments where, you know, whose fault it is matters. Again, fault, Stephen New York says. In this case, even if we don't identify whose fault it is, we need to learn the lesson that we don't just do it again. On the other hand, it's not like there are any historical examples of powers dying in the area now known as Afghanistan. I'm sorry, but I don't have a legal analysis about this the way you do. I'm just trying to come to... Because, see, what I keep thinking about, you know, I was talking earlier about the number of people who really have no, you know, whose consciousness begins sometime after George W. Bush started a war of choice with Afghanistan. And they're going to have to see it in, I don't know, they're going to have to find it in a book or on a TikTok video before they understand it. And now it sounds like I'm talking down to the younger generation, and maybe I am, and I'm sorry. But this is all filed under Georges Santayana, and those who do not learn history are doomed to repeat it. And so while you've got a generation of people who have no idea why we were there in the first place, you've got an entire generation, including 3 out of 4 of our children in this home, who have never known a United States that was anything but at war in the Middle East or Central Asia. Well, there are children unborn and undreamt of. Except for the fact that I've been sitting around thinking of them. Because I'm funny that way. There are mamas carrying babies to term in the middle of a pandemic, even as I speak. And the Pentagon is making plans right now for how to get them into the United States military and how to use them in the next stupid war of choice that a Republican fucking starts. Because it's just my personal philosophy. But the universe is constantly in flux. And the only constant in the universe is change. And every time someone dies, the universe ends for one person. Because I hate to break it to anybody, but there's no fucking pearly gates. There's no streets paved with gold. Good God. Those are the fantasies of a desert-dwelling, dust-covered people who just dream of a day when they cannot have to be dirty. And so there are children being carried to term right now, loved by mother, by father, by mother and father, or father and father. By parents. And somebody is sitting in the Pentagon figuring out how to use the strategies of wars that we have failed in and try it again, because maybe this time the thing that never worked before will work this time. In the middle of a planet that is, yes, eaten up with a pandemic right now, that'll eventually pass to some degree or another. But climate change is with us. And it's not going away. And so we don't know where the next stupid place we're going to go and fight a stupid war is. Will it be like Ron and Raleigh said, Peru, because they had the unmitigated audacity to install a socialist government? I don't think that's going to happen on Joe Biden's watch. I could be wrong. And like I used to say with Barack Obama, I will denounce any president who starts a war of choice, Democrat or Republican. But, you know, there are people out there, Ron Monkey Up DeClantis, who just feels some presidential timber happening in him, and he knows that he's got the Nazis on his side, so that ought to be good for leveraging the nitwit Nero vote. There's Tom Cotton, who thinks of himself as some sort of a goddamn Republican thinker out in Arkansas. And he's got a military history, and the United States loves anybody. You know, I was in the military, so I need to be president. And that's just to name a couple. Haven't heard much from Ben Sasse, that new and different kind of Republican out in Nebraska stand. He might be dreaming dreams, too. Hell, Greg Abbott in Texas might be dreaming dreams if he can, you know, if he can just get over the Rona. Yeah. We in New York says, more despicable than Cruz, the obvious answer, Bugs Bunny. Daffy told us so repeatedly. Okay. You're despicable. But I can't help thinking about these things. Because the future is born out of the present. And the one thing, as I watch all the media hand-wringing and pearl-clutching, the one thing I never see is, let's don't ever do anything like this again. Because we had Vietnam. And then we did something like that again. Only we swapped mountains and jungles for mountains and deserts. You know, as vulgar as I find it, it might be beneficial to actually go and read up on what so-called just war theory is. Yeah, it's just war. No, that's not what it means. It means the only time you start a war is when you haven't started the war. And you don't start wars on tissue paper thin collection of lies and half-truths and frauds and photographs of aluminum tubes. Because Afghanistan and Iraq, he lied. He lied. They lied. Conjugate the verb disaster. I know it's not a verb. So, yeah, our allies, who were so glad to see Nitwit Nero gone, well, one leading German politician said, this is the biggest debacle in NATO's history. German Chancellor Angela Merkel said that what happened in Afghanistan was bitter. She went on to say that the decision to get out was ultimately a decision made by the Americans, and that domestic political reasons were in part why. Angela Merkel went on and said the troop withdrawal sparked a domino effect, and for the many who have built on the progress and freedom, especially women, these are bitter events. And I think that's one of the most infuriating parts of all of this. Women and the freedom of women and children were used as a sort of cause célèbre. In the end, we really didn't give a good goddamn. And it's past infuriating. It's disgusting. Armin Laschet, the conservative candidate to succeed Angela Merkel as chancellor in elections that will take place this September, said, "It is the biggest debacle that NATO has suffered since its founding, and we're standing before an epochal change. But we will talk about the causes and conclusions drawn after this rescue mission, a no-holds-barred analysis of errors in Germany with our allies and in the international community." On the other hand, there was Foreign Minister Heiko Maas of Germany, who said, "There's no talking this up. All of us, the federal government, intelligence services, the international community, misjudged the situation. Our dear friends with whom we enjoy a special relationship, you know, Great Britain, UK. Well, Defense Secretary Ben Wallace last Friday said, "And of course Al-Qaeda will probably come back, and it will then be a security threat to us and our interests." Yeah, I felt that it was a mistake to have done it that way, that we'll all as an international community probably pay the consequences of that. And that, of course, was the agreement that Nitwit Nero signed. That was the mistake he was talking about. Because remember, since we're talking about these sorts of things, and these sorts of things actually matter, well, when he signed the Doha Agreement, Nitwit Nero said we would have every last American service member out of Afghanistan by May of 2021. And he accepted, he gave that up in exchange for promises. No, really, we promise. We'll swear on the Bible.
Oh, they swore on the Bible, the Taliban did.
Guarantee the security of Afghanistan and of people in Afghanistan. Meanwhile, they're quietly chuckling up their sleeves in China, as one could well imagine. But that May of 2021 thing seems to be something that the for-profit media are having a hard time remembering. So I think it's kind of incumbent upon us to remember it, even if they don't. Well, thank you, Sparky. New and different kind of Republican Ben Sasse of Nebraska is now decrying the Trump-Biden doctrine of weakness. Oh, you butch little Nebraskan, you. "The unmitigated disaster in Afghanistan, the shameful Saigon-like abandonment of Kabul, the brutalization of Afghan women, and the slaughter of our allies is the predictable outcome of the Trump-Biden doctrine of weakness. History must be clear about this. American troops didn't lose this war. Donald Trump and Joe Biden deliberately decided to lose." Oh, you fucking twit. You oatmeal-brained dweeb. The decision to lose was made when we decided to go in. How hard is that to sort out? And yet, somehow or another, Ben Sasse somehow fancies himself an intellectual. Oh, and remember how everybody just loved Adam Kinzinger a while back? Yeah, not so much anymore. Of course, I never fell for it. Most of us didn't. But he was right there, Johnny on the spot, ready to damn Joe Biden to the furthest depths of hell. Yeah. And of course, Mr. Sasse put his words in the National Review. Remember the National Review, that little tabloid of white supremacy? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Funny how it's so difficult, and this is a function of both siderism in its own right. This is that bullshit. This is what happens when you let that bullshit duality take over the way one thinks.
Well, you know, we can't talk about this being primarily a function of... No. I mean, you know, Joe Biden may as well have been president for 4 years, maybe eight. You know, it'd be just as much at fault. You know.
God. Going back to that Cigar analysis, when you look at how much we spent and what we got for it, it's mind-boggling. Out of Afghanistan, we got 2,443 American service personnel killed. 20,666 more were injured. 1,144 Allied troops were killed. Maybe the reason that the Afghan military was so eager to throw down their arms is because there have been 66,000 members of the Afghan military killed in these 20 years. 48,000 civilians plus dead. And there's no way to actually ever calculate the real losses, the total number of losses. And Stephen New York has a good point as to what I said a moment ago. The decision to lose was made when we decided to start. I would agree with you, but I've never heard exactly what winning was supposed to look like. Well, what was going to happen? All you have to do is ask the goddamn dumbass generals who started this shit, who sat there and yes sir and yes sir'd dim leader. When he had his little fit of pique, we're going to fuck him. Right. Remember how he told Richard Clark to go back and find a way to blame Saddam Hussein for 9/11? Remember that? The day of or the day after, whenever he got back, he called Richard Clark in and said, I want you to find how Saddam did this. Well, sir, we went and we looked, and Saddam had nothing to do. I don't care. Look again. Wait. Look till you find it. That's not much different than Nitwit Nero telling people in Georgia,
listen, I just need you to find me 11,000 more votes. Just find them.
Which is another way of saying just make something up. But the fact, it remains a fact that we went in on fraudulent pretext. And based upon those fraudulent pretexts and pretenses, the bill of goods was that we were going to create a Western-style democracy. Do you remember early on? Because, you know, I don't remember a lot. I mean, I don't know any of the words or the languages or anything, and not even so much as how to say howdy-do. But I remember all the breathless reporting that, well, you know, now that the United States has invaded Afghanistan and occupied Afghanistan, a Loya Jirga is being convened. And, of course, the Loya Jirga is like the American Congress or perhaps a parliament. Bullshit it is. It's a bunch of illiterate barbarians gathering together and figuring out whose head they're going to use to play polo with. But that's what winning was going to look like, Steve. We're, you know, the Afghan version of George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and John Adams and God knows Ben Franklin and James Madison and Alexander Hamilton were all going to, and they were going to walk around in their Afghan knee breeches and powdered wigs and sit down and write constitutions, and the next thing you know, everybody was going to have frisbees and wheat checks and freedom for all. Only it seldom works that way when you're trying to invade somebody else's country and impose upon them your idea of what good governance looks like. And I have such a great deal of sympathy for the people who were used brutally, cruelly, coldly, casually used in all of this. People who were people who believed in good faith what we were selling over there. And the people who signed up for the United States military and said, yeah, you know, okay, not a lot of work here in the hollers, not a lot of work in the hood. Guess I'll get a job with the Army. And went over there and followed orders and did what they were supposed to do. Came back with a whopping dose of PTSD if they came back at all. Still wake up screaming in the night. And if you're them, you've really got to be sideways right now. Because it's like it's like suddenly finding out that everything you were told was a goddamn lie. It's like that senatorial candidate in Missouri. It was always going to end this way. Anybody who tells you otherwise is lying. It was Peter Galbraith who was interviewed by Jake Tapper today. And he laid out the reasons for why things ended so shittily.
Better. I don't understand this arbitrary August 31st deadline, do you?
No. And I have to say first to thank you and your reporters in Kabul for giving us a picture of what's actually going on. And for me, it's personally very moving. I've also been speaking to Afghan colleagues who are terrified at the moment. So there's nothing magical about the 31st of August or even the 11th of September in terms of a deadline. The U.S. is there. Our goal should be to get, obviously, all the Americans out, the other foreign...
Hey, Jake, where's the talk about May of 2021? You know, the Doha Agreement, you know, the one that Trump signed off on.
Nationals, but also the Afghans who have worked not just with the U.S. military and the embassy, not just with our coalition partners, but also the United Nations staff, because after all, they were there pursuant to a Security Council mandate that the U.S. sponsored, people who work for humanitarian organizations, non-governmental organizations, and Afghan journalists. We trained a generation of Afghan journalists to do Western-style reporting. A lot of them are going to be in danger right now. And we can stay. We control the airport. The Taliban's not going to force us out.
You've been talking about the problems with the effort in Afghanistan, the Western effort in Afghanistan, for a long time. And you've noted that long before the Taliban takeover, decades of corruption and fraud at the top levels of Afghan government have been a real problem. President Biden said the U.S. mission was never about nation building, although... I mean, maybe he thinks it shouldn't have been, but it ultimately was. Do you think that the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan was going to be this messy no matter when the U.S. left? Was this a foregone conclusion in your view?
No, I anticipated that Afghanistan would descend in a prolonged period of civil war.
Well, you were wrong, weren't you, buddy?
Not the... you know, incredibly rapid collapse of the Taliban, but the causes are very clear. You had a...
So wait a minute, let's take a moment with that, can we, pretty please? Did you think it was going to end like this no matter when it happened? Well, no, I thought they were going to have a prolonged civil war.
Damn it. We were kind of looking forward to that. Military-industrial complex could have made a fortune on that. We just keep supplying them with guns, and they could... But the damn little bastards dropped their guns and ran away. I don't know. Is there a way to look at this and say, you know, maybe it could have been worse? I mean, would Afghanistan have been worse with a nice, long, protracted civil war? Because, well, civil wars have a way of civilians doing the majority of the dying. I don't know. What would that have meant? We would have, but then again, I guess we kind of expected a long, protracted civil war in Vietnam, didn't we? You get the idea we're teaching the wrong shit somewhere? I mean, remember, Mike Pompeo, former Secretary of State, graduated first in his class at West Point. That's not nearly as funny as it used to be.
A corruption that started at the top and went all the way down. And the corruption, I think, began with a succession of fraudulent elections. Karzai's second term, Ashraf Ghani's two terms. When you have corrupt power brokers stealing elections, it's awfully hard for you as the top man.
Wait. And to think the whole thing was started by a guy who was a corrupt politician who stole an election. Son of a gun. Goddess of Irony was working hard today.
To do anything about corruption, and that went through the entire system, and then the United States. I put a lot of fault, frankly, on the U.S. military commanders. They said they were fighting a counterinsurgency, and that in order for a counterinsurgency to be successful, they said you have to have a local partner, and I think that's basically true. But then they pretended they knew that they didn't have a local partner in the Afghan government or military. They pretended they did because it fit their strategy, and that was the ultimate formula for disaster.
Yeah, hold on for a minute. Everything reminds me of something, because, son of a gun, it appears I've been paying attention all these years. Do you remember, because I do, do you remember when in recent years when American forces would do something really dumb like send a drone over and hellfire missile another wedding party? How many wedding parties? Now that we can tally up the losses and stuff, how many wedding parties did we hellfire missile? How many pimply-faced little Air Force veterans who were joysticking the drones and are out of the Air Force now are wandering around wondering how many women and children they slaughtered because they were told to push the video game button? And drones are just video games that really blow things up. How many wrecked lives? How many wrecked souls? But no, the larger point is, remember when we'd do something like that, or we'd take some unilateral action to knock out some Taliban dirtbags, and the Afghan government said, "By God, we want you motherfuckers out of here." Well, we wanted to be, you know, people like me, this community, we wanted to be out of there too. And we knew what was going to happen. Good faith partners.
A new report out today from the Special Inspector General for Afghanistan reviewed 20 years of attempts to
That's the report we were talking
in
about.
Afghanistan. The top line conclusion, the U.S. spent hundreds of billions of dollars in this effort at nation building in Afghanistan, but in the view of the Special Inspector General, never had a coherent strategy, had an unrealistic timeline.
Ah, come on, Jake, you're a fucking millionaire. They pay you oodles. At least you can say the same obvious thing I said an hour and a half ago. Never should have gone in there in the first place. Because that's the lesson. That's the lesson. Not we didn't have a good faith partner. Not the generals were wrong. The generals only got to be wrong because we went in there in the first place. Don't do this. Don't do it again. I mean, there's all kinds of potential analogies out there. you know, the little kid who licks his finger and sticks it in the light socket. And and under this scenario, the mommy comes up and goes, no, son, don't. If you're going to stick your finger in a light socket, don't lick it first. No! Don't stick your finger in the light socket! It's not don't put your hand on the hot stove burner if mommy's frying chicken. It's don't put your... Oh! And we can figure... And you know, I try really hard not to do a whole lot of second guessing. I'm trying to be a better person. But this you can't resist it here. It's impossible. It's when you're watching people who are supposed to be experts fucking up so monumentally, how do you not say, oh, you're fucking up?
You wrote a book on what you call American incompetence in Iraq. Did we make the same mistakes in Afghanistan that were made in Iraq?
Yes. And the core mistake in Iraq was also the core mistake in Afghanistan.
Say it.
Was to have a strategy and then try to fit the facts so the strategy would work.
Wrong! The core mistake in Afghanistan and Iraq was going there in the first place. Hope springs eternal. You know, we'll let the clip continue and see if he ever gets around to it, and in which case, if he does, it'll be a buried lead.
Case of Iraq, the idea was that there were such a people called Iraqis rather than Kurds, Sunni, Shiites, who had their own agendas. In Afghanistan, the core mistake was to think that there was a partner in the Afghan government and military, and both in Kabul and at the local level.
Losing hope.
That was capable of working with us, that was capable of providing security, capable of providing honest administration, capable of improving the lives of Afghans. And the evidence that it wasn't working was every place. You know, we built roads, billions on roads, to help subsistence farmers raise their incomes to get their product to market.
Yeah, we did. And, of course, the incredible humor in all of that is that we built those roads and we have to and Democrats have to fight like the hounds of hell are after them to build roads and railroads and bridges and shit in the United States. 20 years of bloodshed and irony. My God.
What happened? Corrupt police set up checkpoints, robbed the farmers. The net result was that the farmers were alienated. They became recruits for the Taliban, and those roads were primarily used by the Taliban to reach areas of Afghanistan that otherwise might have been defensible.
You know, it's kind of like something that Gaius Marius figured out in the first century BCE, or maybe late in the second. There was a battle, and the Gauls picked up the Roman spears, pila. They were called pila. And turned around and threw them back at the Roman soldiers and did grievous harm. And I guess you could say the same thing about these damn dumb roads. Somebody kind of missed the boat on ancient history, I guess. Now, why study ancient history? It's just about a bunch of ancient fucking people. I mean, my God, why bother? Gaius Marius went on and invented a kind of Roman spear where once it was thrown, the head would snap off and they couldn't turn it around and throw it back at you. Because once you threw it the first time, it's not like you were going to go and get it and throw it again. It wasn't a fucking frisbee. Missed that boat.
Yeah, when I was in Afghanistan a decade ago, there were U.S. soldiers with the 227 Wolfhounds who had literally sacrificed their lives in an attempt to build a road in Kunar. Listen, I got one more question for you, and then we're going to run out of time, but we're hearing a lot of propaganda from the Taliban in their press conferences and statements. What do you think, factually, rule will look like under the Taliban, especially for women and girls?
Now, here's a guy who's just proven himself to have been wrong about everything. Let's find out what he's wrong about in the future.
And for Afghans who do not share their strict fundamentalist Islamist religion.
I think
say they're going to have head-lopping parties in soccer stadiums? Go ahead. You can do it.
We can hope that the Taliban will be not...
Oh, how sweet. He's going to hope.
...quite as bad as it was in the 1990s when they ruled.
What the hell kind of scales? It's not going to be as bad as it was in the 1990s. Not as bad as still includes the larger universe of bad.
But it's going to be very grim for women, for girls. I want to say a word about the Hazara ethnic minority. These are about 15% of the population are Shiite. The Taliban view Shiites as apostates. There were even beginnings of genocide in the 1990s. And then there are hundreds of thousands of Afghans who participated in the westernization of the country and the globalization of the country. And even for the men, they're going to find it a very, very difficult time. I mean,
wait, we had Afghan globalization in the economy? Did I miss something? Did I miss the can of corned goat sitting on my local Piggly Wiggly shelf? Proudly made in Afghanistan. No. This is the kind of bilious analysis that makes sure that the next one's going to happen. You know, we ruined priceless artifacts from antiquity, part of world heritage, in our unprovoked war on the people of Iraq. Ron in Raleigh has stuck this little nightmarish scenario in my head of us getting froggy in Peru or something. I hope against hope that we don't, because, you know. Hey, y'all, let's park some Black Hawk helicopters up there in Machu Picchu. What do you say? Hoo-ah, sir! Yeah, Stephen New York says, this Galbraith dude, this fucker's hubris is nearly insufferable. The for me, the stupidity is even more so. Darlene in Connecticut says, it's a long overdue reckoning, and sadly those who pay the price are women and girls, once again. And I wish George and Laura would shut the fuck up. Still don't buy that we went into Afghanistan for the women and girls. Didn't believe it then, don't believe it now. Good, because it's not true. We went in for... Remember, it was May of 2001, and we've now apparently also forgotten that W hosted the Taliban in the Oval Office! And he said, well, you can have a carpet of gold, or you can have a carpet of bombs. All you got to do is sign this here pipeline agreement. Carpet of gold, carpet of bombs. You pick. And we gave them oodles of money because they were suppressing the heroin trade. Which we thought was a good thing. Shortly after we started our war of choice, lo and behold, branded, no kidding, stamped, branded heroin starts showing up in the United States. Proudly made in Afghanistan. Nope. Wasn't corned goat, it was heroin. By the way, goat's delicious. In case anybody thinks I'm being, you know, culturally insensitive. But anyway, Darlene says, can't Biden just continue breaking with tradition and call out W? Fuck the special club. He essentially did it to his buddy Barack. Trump was easy. Now go after Bush. If Bush can criticize, then he opened himself up, that motherfucker. Here, here, you know. Not funny, but cowbell worthy, just the same. Well, where's the first half and another 15 minutes of the program going? I know. And sadly, there's all kinds of other news out there. Maybe we can find some time to talk about that. But it is also, oh, look, breaking from the Washington Post. The state of Florida is going to punish two counties or two school districts for requiring masks. Yeah. Brilliant. That's pure genius. Maybe we'll get into some today in COVID later. I mean, we've got a couple of new busts in the January 6th insurrection. That's a possibility. And we're going to take a quick break. By the way, second night in a row that we're well into it. Frank had a challenge on the table last night. Yesterday was a goose egg. And we are at an hour and 45 minutes into this Titanic Tuesday, and we are also still at a goose egg. There's a challenge on the table from Joey and Giraffe and to the tune of $25. It would be nice to see that net. Be really nice. In the meantime, hey, let's get some happy news. I'm kidding. It being a Tuesday, we've got the Green News Report from Brad and Desi.
It's Tuesday, August 17, 2021.
The earthquake could not have come at a worse time. Haiti is in the midst of a political crisis and is being threatened by a tropical storm, which could bring heavy rains and mudslides to the already crippled nation.
Tropical depression Grace compounds disaster as Haiti reels from powerful earthquake. July 2021 was the hottest month ever recorded on planet Earth. Plus,
climate change science is telling us some really stark truths about the decline of water here in the western United States.
Federal government declares water shortage on the Colorado River for the first time ever.
All of those declarations and more straight ahead from bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
They passed a $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill. To put that into perspective, if you took 1.2 trillion $1 bills and laid them end to end, they'd make better roads than what we're driving on right now, which is why we need the bill.
This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, as if things weren't horrific enough in Haiti, now they're slammed by a tropical depression.
Indeed. On Saturday, a 7.2 magnitude earthquake hit western Haiti, still not fully recovered from the devastating 2010 earthquake, also struggling with the pandemic, gang violence, and political chaos after its president was assassinated last month. Now a tropical storm is plunging the poorest nation in the western hemisphere even further into crisis. As we go to air, more than 1,400 people are confirmed dead, thousands more injured, tens of thousands rendered homeless and in immediate need of shelter, food, clean water, and medical care. The region is in desperate need of assistance, but compounding the devastation is Tropical Depression Grace. The storm's track is almost right over the epicenter of the earthquake and is forecast to dump as much as 15 inches of rain in some areas. This is a harrowing example of what emergency management experts call a compound disaster. Natural disasters hitting in quick succession, pushing government response and infrastructure resilience to the breaking point.
And that's something that you have warned about for years, having more than one disaster at a time. And Haiti has, well, now at least more than one disaster.
Meanwhile, July 2021 was Earth's hottest month ever recorded globally since record-keeping began in the 1880s. That's according to NOAA, breaking the previous record set just last year. July saw two flood disasters in China and Germany that each cost more than $25 billion in damages. The month also saw the hottest reliably recorded temperature for the planet, an astonishing 130 degrees Fahrenheit at Death Valley, California. It is not a good sign that this new all-time hottest month record is occurring when there is no El Nino weather pattern in the Pacific to blame for goosing global temperatures.
So everything could be worse this month had there been an El Nino this year.
Exactly.
Oh, brother.
Japan is the latest country to see record-setting torrential rains. Parts of western Japan have set new, all-time highest rainfall records. Some areas deluged with 3 months' worth of rain in 24 hours. One prefecture saw more than 3.5 feet of rain in 3 days. Those have generated extreme floods and landslides that have collapsed buildings and swept away homes. Here in the U.S., the Biden administration on Monday formally formally declared a water shortage on the Colorado River for the first time in U.S. history amid a decades-long mega drought that experts say is a sign of what is to come with man-made climate change. The river's main reservoirs have dropped to new historic lows. Lake Mead near Las Vegas is at 35% capacity, Lake Powell at 32%. Both are still falling, triggering the first ever mandatory water cuts in the Southwest. Starting next year, Arizona will lose almost 20% of its river allocation.
Wow.
Nevada will lose about 7%. In an interview with KUNM, John Fleck, director of the Water Resources Program at the University of New Mexico, warns that further cuts are likely and communities should begin preparing now for even worse.
They won't.
Coping with less water is a permanent phenomenon. We cannot expect wet times to return.
So this is a problem for drinking water, for farming, and how about for power?
There are concerns about that as well from the hydroelectric plants at Lake Mead and the Hoover Dam.
Which is at an all-time low.
Yes. In Northern California, new evacuations have been ordered as the relentless Dixie Fire shows no signs of slowing down more than a month after it ignited near a Pacific Gas and Electric power station. Fire experts warn that it now appears that giant infernos that burn for months on end are the new norm for California. Finally, a bit of good news. The Biden administration is moving to restore even more of the Trump administration's dismantling of efficiency standards for appliances, which, by the way, most manufacturers did not support and did not request. For light bulbs, dishwashers, clothes washers, and shower heads, which save consumers both money and water, particularly crucial amid the Western drought.
For much more on all of those stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Well, hey, we got off the schneid. Thank you very, very kindly. Thank you so much. Joey and Giraffe's challenge has been met. Well, then something wonderful happened. Ralph's jumped in, as did our dear friend, Tara. Thank you, Tara, and thank you, Ralph's. That's magnificent. It's wonderful and so very helpful. And so we are now down to, we're down to 425. We're $125 away from fully funded for yesterday and today. So thank you, Tara, and thank you so much, Ralph's, and thank you, Joey and Giraffe, for making the challenge. I've got a little bit of an update to something I wondered about earlier in the program. Then I'm going to go over to the phones. I had questioned whether or not Greg Abbott in Texas was vaccinated. Well, he was. He was. And nonetheless, he's now tested positive for the Rona. So since he's vaccinated, he's got relatively decent odds of maybe feeling like crap for a while, but not winding up horizontally crucified or, you know, dying in the hospital. Will this make a good? Will this make a good goddamn bit of difference to the mask holes and COVIDiots and spread necks in Texas and elsewhere? No, it won't. He's going to isolate in the governor's mansion. I bet if you work in the Texas governor's mansion in Austin, you just feeling real great about that news. I mean, come on, Greg, don't you have a house you can go to or something like that? Please, because it's a Republican administration in a Republican governor's mansion. How many vaccinated people are there? How's he gonna remain isolated and keep governating? You got me. Last week, nationwide, we had more than 900,000 new coronavirus cases reported. It was the most we've had since January. Yeah, I know. Oh, my God. But meanwhile, he's still constitutionally opposed to masks because freedom, Wolverines, right? And we've had the announcement that people should get booster shots at the 8-month mark after they were first vaccinated. Yeah, well, that's no help, at least not for me. I'm really, really struggling with this because I have to have this appointment. But I don't know. It's getting creepier and creepier. Because, among other things, we now know that something on the order of 2/3 of all Americans support masks and masking. And that means this country is being dragged down into all too many graves by a noisy one-third of this country. And there's a lesson in that about the power of pluralities as opposed to majorities. The Biden administration is doing all that they can. Effective immediately, all visitors and employees to the national parks will need to wear a mask inside its buildings, on its shuttles, and in crowded outdoor spaces such as narrow or busy trails and overlooks. I wonder what that means for us here in America's newest national park. The federal mask mandate for planes and buses and trains has been extended into next year until January 18th, 2022. Oh, and by the way, the other thing I said about Greg Abbott, yep, he's getting the Regeneron antibody treatment after testing positive. Isn't it interesting how the mask holes and COVIDians and spreadnecks are all scared more shitless than an Afghan soldier hearing about the Taliban being 50 miles away, but they're all up. Give me some of that Regeneron. Sure. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, New Zealand had like a coronavirus case. And Jacinda Ardern, their prime minister, said, "Nope, fuck all that. We're shutting back down." And the thing is, it's a three-day shutdown. Happened late on Tuesday, today, New Zealand time. And they got their first new cases in nearly 6 months. Five infections total, and it was enough to shut the country down because in New Zealand, they have these funny things called brains, and not nearly as many maggots. Three-day shutdown's not going to, no. Before genomic testing was even completed, Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern ordered the hardest lockdown in a year. And she said, "Just as we successfully stayed home and saved lives last year, I'm asking the team of 5 million to unite once more to defeat what is likely to be this more dangerous and transmissible variant of the virus." Thank God the Kiwis are not Americans. Good God, they'd be marching in the streets and hooting and grunting and barking. I saw a video the other day of a full-grown man attacking an old lady for wearing a mask. It's kind of like what Carol Baker said last night when they're going, "See, we got another one of them people that's afraid. Well, are you wearing a mask? Are you vaccinated?" Remember what she said? "Oh, yeah, I'm vaccinated. I've also had the tetanus shot, but that doesn't mean I run around stepping on rusty nails." 33% of this country are a biohazard to the vast majority of us. And maybe it's time we adopt the, and it feels really gross to say it, but adopt the attitude of some of the maggots. Maybe we need to put our masks on and wear T-shirts with masks on them, and underneath it says, "Fuck your feelings. Fuck your freedom." So sick of them. Disgust me. Thank you very kindly to our dear sister Jude in the Great Northwest. Thank you, Jude. So that means we're now down to $415 to go to catch up. Thank you. Thank you, Jude, so very much. Yeah, I know. Ralph says, "Oh, my God, the staff will have to disinfect the governor's mansion like they did the White House." Deep clean. Deep clean. But how can they do that with him sitting there spewing Delta variant particles all over the building? Because you know how he's gonna isolate, right? That is to say, not at all. Because Jesus, I don't know either. I don't know. Steve in New York asks, New Zealand, with the time difference, is that 4 days in the future or 3.5 days in the past? Well, either way, I haven't gotten the lottery numbers for yesterday. Somebody could help out. I mean, yeah, right. Okay. It's an old joke I stole from Malloy. So after 2 hours of filler lobster, before I go to the phones, one last thing. Let's check in with Manatee County Commissioner in Florida, Kevin Van Ostenbridge. The ambulance came to his house on Saturday and took him away to the local hospital. This in a news piece from the Sarasota Herald Tribune. And because the goddess of irony is not taking any shit now, well, back in May, Manatee County Commissioner Kevin Van Ostenbridge, by the way, do we have to say Republican? Well, let's say Republican so there's no confusion. He said, you know, we got to repeal all these mandatory safety measures for the COVID-19. We got to get rid of these mask mandates in any buildings owned by the county. And this was, of course, directly in contravention of everything that public health officials were saying, but why do I even have to bother saying that? And he followed up by saying, the World Health Organization is corrupt. The CDC is losing credibility by the day. And Dr. Fauci, nobody listens to that guy anymore. He's telling us it could be years where we're going to be wearing masks, but at first it was just to bend the curve. Could somebody call me an ambulance? Yeah. And so they decided to strip all the mandatory COVID-19 restrictions from county buildings because Commissioner Kevin Van Ostenbridge threw a fit. And he is, at present reported stabilized, but continues to have difficulty breathing. Yeah. Will he learn? You reckon? Anyway, knowing? He's getting Regeneron, as to Greg Abbott. Darlene says, maybe that means Abbott's super sick. Maybe he didn't get the vaccine after all, or maybe he's in that small percentage of vaccinated that gets really sick, or maybe he has an autoimmune disease or comorbidities that make him super susceptible. No, I think they're just going to give him Regeneron because Ron Monkey Up DeSantis is heavily invested in it, got a big supply of it, and, you know, well, damn. I mean, they've set up an entire stadium for just treating people with Regeneron. Yeah, call in, get you some Regeneron. We got maybe a daiquiri on the side. Oh, these fuckers. Stupid, toxic, homicidal, bioterrorist fuckers. But that having been said, let's run over and check in with Reggie. You still there, Reggie?
Hi. Hello.
Yeah, hey, Reggie.
Hey, Robin. How you doing, man?
Girl's good.
Okay. Did you hear what that fucker Carlson said about AOC when she thought that she's going to be raped and then killed on that fateful day of January the 6th?
No.
She told her to go seek help. Go seek help. Go seek therapy. Get a therapist, honey. Because you're ridiculously insane.
Yeah. So, in other words, Tucker Carlson's being a dick again.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Oh, and did you hear what Major Michelle Green said? That she wants to impeach Joe Biden again?
Again?
Yes, again.
Well, she wants to file another bill. You know, I'm surprised she's not filing one of those every other day.
Yeah. But
Joe Biden eats his toast butter side down. Impeach Joe Biden. What an idiot.
Yeah, I thought she was suspended from Twitter.
Well, it was temporary.
Temporary. Wait, they'll be on Twitter forever. Because if anybody else said it about you know who, they would have been suspended possibly for life. If you know what I mean. Huh?
Oh, I do.
Okay. Well, you know, There's no way of stopping these people, or is there? Is there any way of... Yeah, go ahead, Robin.
Twitter's a sewer. We know it's a sewer.
Yes, it is a sewer. Mm-hmm.
And we know they're not going to really... They're not really going to do anything.
Right. So that's just, you know, that's just lip service bullshit that they give us, right? Right, Robin?
It, pretty much.
That goes for Facebook, too, doesn't it?
Yeah, sure. It all sucks.
You know,
but the thing is, it has inveigled its way, probably mispronouncing that, into our lives and become something that feels like indispensable.
Oh, right. Just like the mainstream media.
I mean, you want to talk about people getting suspended and not suspended.
Yeah.
You know, Jenna Ellis. Remember her? She's that horrible pettifogging maggot lawyer. She got 12 hours of Twitter jail because she said that Afghan refugees are terrorists.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. 12 hours, that ain't enough. That's nothing.
Right. Well, I mean, I'm sure it was horrible, horrible suffering for her. But we were talking about Greg Abbott having the Rona. Turns out, there's a photo of him. He's up on a stage in a room.
Yeah.
Full of maggots, not a mask to be seen, and he's sitting there. He's sitting there, waving to them. And that was a day before he announced that. Yeah, got it too.
Right. So, aren't the scientists and the president supposed to be doing something about it?
Well, I mean, you can't fix stupid, Reggie. The president of the United States cannot make the governor of Texas wear a damn mask.
Right. Neither can Dr. Fauci, I promise.
And you know, without making too much noise about it, the good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual, Christian, Republican government of Texas quietly reached out to the... federal government and said, "Hey, could we borrow a few of your mortuary trailers? We think we're going to wind up needing some extra mortuary trailers. You hateful job killing federal government. Could you just send them on down? I mean, we don't know where we're going to need them, but we're going to need them."
Right.
Mortuary trailers. Not portable hospital, but no, mortuary. Places to put all the dead people that Greg Abbott's been working so damned hard on killing.
Right. Somebody should vote him out. Didn't they, Robin?
Well, he's going to stop being governor in 2022, I think.
Well, that's next year.
Mm-hmm. Well, nobody's going to wait. You think a bunch of Republicans are going to are going to actually impeach him?
Obviously, impossibly not.
No, that's certainly not. That's never going to happen. Not in this universe or any other.
Right. They didn't impeach you know who, so why should they start now? Yeah, they didn't impeach. Former President Donald J. Trump, so why should they start now? But like I said, they want to start impeaching President Joseph R. Biden. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Thanks to that, you know, thanks to you know who, thanks to her. You know, Little Miss Nut Job. You know. If only you can stop giving these people far away so much attention. Maybe they'll go, you can ignore them and go away.
No, but they won't because the for-profit media are addicted to it, and
of course.
and they crave attention. And so, if you crave hard enough, somebody will show up with a camera, and you'll get what you want.
Right. really, shall we say, get off on it, right, Robin? The for-profit media.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Well, again, it's media catnip.
Media catnip. Right. You know, can't they report on something substantive, important, relevant news? Like what? Like the things you were talking about this earlier, there, Robin. You know, like, you know, COVID-19 and Afghanistan and the Taliban and whatnot.
Yeah,
and
but that doesn't. That doesn't sell Super Beats. That doesn't sell. Oh, right. That doesn't sell pharmaceuticals, and that doesn't sell, well, any of the crap that gets pitched on, you know, for-profit media.
Right. Right. You mean like Viagra and whatnot? You know.
Yeah, I don't think about Viagra much anymore, but yeah.
You know, and medicine, you know, medications like, you know, aspirin and, you know.
Right. Yeah. Now, this medication may help you, or it may make your nose fall off. Mm-hmm. Side effects include noses sliding off faces. Right, sure.
And your hair falling out.
Like, yeah.
Things like that.
There is a moderate risk of death.
Yes. So you're saying it's not exciting for them?
Well, no, it just doesn't want to. It doesn't make people want to keep eyeballs on screens. And besides, you know, I mean, sometimes mask holes and COVIDiots and spread necks, you know, they buy cars. They buy the things that are advertised there. You wouldn't want to run them off, you know.
Yeah, they buy alcohol, food, and everything else. In between.
Hey, spread neck COVIDiot, this bud's for you.
Exactly. Well, they have to eat too, you know. They have to eat too.
Sure.
And they also buy clothes and shoes, you know.
Yeah, until they get the Rona, and then, you know, your fashion choices are pretty much limited to hospital gown.
True. And slippers. And slippers. Right. So, like, you know, it's not exciting for them. It doesn't make as much money, you know, ka-ching, ka-ching. Right, Robin?
Yeah, Reggie, that's pretty much the bottom line.
Yeah, that's true. But for those of us who do report actual news, they make fun of it, don't they, Robin? I mean, not me myself personally, but I'm talking about you and Nicole and Randy and Leslie Marshall and Stephanie Miller and Mike Malloy. Get the name six of you guys. They make fun of you guys.
Tara Devlin, Rick Smith.
Yeah, that's seven. That's seven, eight.
Thomas over at FYI.
No, that's nine.
Mm-hmm.
So that's nine people. They make fun of you guys, right?
Oh, I don't know. I've never caught them making fun of me, but yeah.
No, they make fun of the They make fun of the others. You know, like. And make fun of your kind or brand of the progressive media, you know. You don't want to get down and dirty with them like they do. Right, Robin? You kind of rise above it all, right, Robin?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I think I can be pretty. But you know, that's the old thing that I think it was Twain that talked about. Said to never. Wrestle with a pig. You both get covered in mud, and the pig likes it.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
So that's what they're doing. They're wrestling in mud, with pigs in mud, and they're getting covered by the slop, by the slop, and they're loving the slop.
Yeah, well, there's stuff besides, yeah, indeed.
Yeah, slop. And they can't clean themselves up after it.
Reggie, let me ask you: you're down in the greater Atlanta area. How are things down there? I mean, are you taking your precautions? Are you staying in, not going out? What?
Yeah, I am. It's not as hot as it was last week.
No, but I mean, in terms of the virus and everything, I know you're vaccinated, but you know, Georgia's bad. You know, just like everywhere. Everywhere else in the South is bad.
Yeah. North Florida.
And Alabama.
That's interesting. I wonder what they're doing down there. What is their government doing down there for? Let me guess. Nothing, right?
Oh,
I don't, you know, I know some people that just came back from there and they made a practice of not seeing anybody. They rented a house, they stayed at the house, they didn't go anywhere, and they just sat around and soaked up sun and then came back home to the hills.
Oh, good. Good. I'm sure that, you know, North and South Carolina is bad for them too.
There's nowhere that, I mean, the Delta variant's all over, and the Lambda variant is, as we were told last night, the Lambda variant's in California, so.
Oh,
hang on. Yeah. Hey, Reggie, you have yourself a good night, my friend. I'm going to make a little room in case anybody else wants to jump into the conversation. It's always good talking to you. Do please stay safe. Because, yeah, try not to be any big crowds, and make sure you wear your mask and maintain your social distance, okay?
Right. I wonder what Gavin Newsom doing for those people that are in the California and L.A.
Well,
I wonder what he's doing for them.
Well, over the weekend, the Proud Boys had a little fascist party, and curiously enough, the LAPD was not there. They had to be called in, even though, yeah. So they brawled and beat the hell out of some people and attacked some journalists and whatnot. And it's almost like they're happy to see it happen. I don't know.
I hope those journalists sue those guys for everything that they have.
Well, they're not gonna.
That's assault. Well, that's assault.
I mean, what does it matter to sue somebody that doesn't have any money in the first damn place?
Right. But they've been assaulted. Like you said, that's illegal, right?
Well, it is. It is.
So, like you said, they had to call the LAPD to show up. Maybe they don't want to do anything. I hope they did something. You know?
I wouldn't count on it.
Me neither.
Well, Reggie, you do. You take care of yourself, you hear? We'll talk soon.
You too. All right, Robert.
All right.
Stay cool down there, okay?
Oh, it's so gray and wet here, I don't have to worry about it. It's only 72 degrees in the studio right now. Summer's just about done. I don't know where it went.
Right. Well, fall, you know, the first day of fall is September 15th.
I'll have to check the date on that, but yeah, it's close. It's close. You take care, Reggie. Be good now. That's our buddy Reggie Collins from Decatur. And if you'd like to get involved in the program, you are more than welcome so to do. You know the numbers. On Skype, it's Bob Kincaid Horn. And, the stress line is 844-843-4676, 844-THE-HORN. And, well, if you've got something on your mind, share it. There's no end of miserable stories to be had out of this. I'm talking about the pandemic. You recall Mississippi Governor Colonel Tate Reeves. Well, it wasn't too long back that he was standing in front of a bunch of people saying, ha, ha, harumph. And he said, you know, the thing is with this here COVID virus is that sure, some people are going to get it. And some people won't get sick, and some people get sick. And I reckon a few people's gonna die. Well, that wasn't very long at all before tragedy, horror struck. Last Friday, Michaela Robinson, 13 years old. She came down with the Rona on Friday, and she was dead by Saturday. 13 years old, an honor student. She was in band. Smith County School Superintendent Nick Hillman said, everybody says if they had 30 kids in the classroom like her, they'd have the perfect classroom. Now, bear in mind, Mississippi Governor Colonel Tate Reeves following the lead of people like Ron Monkey Up DeClantis and Greg Abbott in Florida and Greg Abbott in Texas and Governor Meemaw. Well, Governor Meemaw turns out to be the most badass of them because she said, I reckon it's time we started blaming the people ain't got no vaccine. Well, Governor Greg and Governor Monkey Up, they're not doing that, and neither was Governor Taint Reeves. Because, no, it wasn't a day before. It was the very day that Michaela Robinson came down with the Rona. And that very same day, he said, now, for most children, it's just a case of the sniffles. Mm-hmm. Michaela Robinson was dead. Less than 24 hours later. Curiously, there's no angry mob of people outside the governor's mansion with pitchforks and torches demanding the little chicken shit come out and talk. In that Smith County school district, parents are pissed. Some of them are. Sharon Moore, interviewed by WATP, said, it's really scary. And for my daughter and my kids to tell me, get up this morning, and they say they didn't want to go to school because, you know, it's scary. Another parent, Jerome Black, said somebody was sitting beside my kid with COVID, and I'm on my way to school right now to pick up my son. He's 11 years old, to bring him home to quarantine. CNN reported that cases in Muzuppistan have risen more than 40% over the past week, compared to the previous 7-day time period. That via data from Johns Hopkins. They went on and said the number of COVID-19 related deaths is up more than 75% in the same time frame. Just 23% of Smith County residents are fully vaccinated. 23%. And I know we talk about this a lot, and what the hell is wrong with them? I mean, really? What the hell is wrong with them? What kind of fatalism? What kind of bullshit religious faith? Lib Talker calls religious faith bullshit. Yes, yes, she did. Brand new school year. Didn't make it a month into the school year, and a 13-year-old child is dead because Governor Taint Reeves said, well, you know, most children will just get the sniffles. God damn! I mean, I guess I was being somewhat tongue-in-cheek, sarcastic in saying, why isn't the governor's mansion surrounded by people with pitchforks and torches? Well, because, you know, the Mississippi State Police would show up and probably mow a few people down. But you can at least go there and stand up and chant, you know, come out, motherfucker. You know, or maybe not. Maybe there's enough smart people know probably ought not be out chanting in front of the governor's mansion. Goddamn fucking virus. Why isn't there a line around the block, socially distanced, wearing masks, going, no, seriously. One 13-year-old honor student is too damn many. Get me my shot. Oh, could it be the fact that, Mississippi Stan is afraid that they would descend into goddamn godless socialist communism, fascist Rosicrucian Illuminatiism if they were to have a medical system that actually cared for people? If they'd taken the Medicaid expansion, for instance? Could it be that you've got a lot of people in, say, Smith County, Mississippi, who have been deliberately undereducated and think that if they go get a shot that it'll somehow cost them? How many ads are running in Mississippi saying, no, really, get the damn shot. It doesn't cost you anything. Just go down to the Wally World. Go down to your CVS. Go to your grocery, wherever. There's pharmacies. They got you. Go get one. No, I got a story here from a prominent physician in Alabama, Dr. Jason Valentine. He practices medicine at the Diagnostic and Medical Clinic Infirmary Health in Mobile. He went on Facebook with a picture of himself and a sign that he had printed out and put on his door, or maybe staff did. Effective October 1st, 2021, Dr. Valentine will no longer see patients that are not vaccinated against COVID-19. October 1st, Doc. He said on Facebook, first day of these signs in my rooms, all three unvaccinated patients on my schedule asked where they could get their vaccine today. No conspiracy theories, no excuses, just where do I go? If they asked why, I told them COVID is a miserable way to die and I can't watch them die like that. And he went ahead and he said he was putting out a letter. It said, we do not yet have any great treatments for severe disease, but we do have great prevention with vaccines. Unfortunately, many have declined to take the vaccine and some end up severely ill or dead. I cannot and will not force anyone to take the vaccine, but I also cannot continue to watch my patients suffer and die from an eminently preventable disease. The question then becomes, why does a doctor have to do that? What is wrong? Can they not learn? Is this some sort of psychological effect where people can't internalize the risk unless it happens to somebody near them? I don't know. I simply do not know. But, you know, good on him for taking the action that he's taking. I'm sure maybe, I don't know, maybe Governor Meemaw won't come after him. If he was in Florida, I'm sure Monkey Up would come after him. If he was in Texas, I'm sure that Greg Abbott would come after him. He's in Mobile, not that far from Mississippi. Best not cross the state line there. Governor Taint Reeves might say, you know, I don't know why you people are scaring people like this. Most of them just get the sniffles. Motherfucker. Let's go over and check in with Carl over in Western Mass. Hey, Carl.
How you doing, Robin? Sorry.
That's okay. I'm
gonna take up.
I'm okay-ish. How about you?
Oh, I know. Yeah, I'm so pissed off. You know, up here, most people wear masks, even more now with Delta coming out. But it's unbelievable. I have my best friend, his father is 76 and is still on cancer meds because he's got bone cancer and they're not going to do anything except for giving maintenance stuff. And he's got a hit shot, but my best friend won't stop because, you know, 55-year-old man saying, I don't want to do it because I don't know what he's going to do.
Oh, you do that accent way too well. Do that again.
I don't know what it's going to do. And it's just... But
it's going to keep you from getting the virus. I mean, Jesus Christ.
He's not dumb.
Or keep you from dying of it.
He's not a motor technician. Yeah. And keep his father from dying. And Bob's not a dumb man. I mean, he talks kind of dumb, but he's not a dumb... He's an automotive technician, and he knows shit about cars that would make you, you know, make your head spin. He's a wiring expert, and I mean, he can pull apart an automatic transmission and throw it back together, and there's how many thousands of parts in there. And it's just, I try telling him, and I'm like, what do you think it's going to do? I don't know. But he doesn't know who Dr. Fauci is. He claims that he's doing research or listening to the experts, but he doesn't know who Dr. Fauci is. And about a month ago, we were talking. I go to his house and have a few beers and, you know, sit in his, either his garage or his kitchen, you know, and stand and talk. And while India was being raked over by COVID,
he actually said to me, how did India get COVID? Do they eat bats too? And
I think we have our answer, Carl.
Where you just you hear a statement like that and you just look at him like, and your brain can't process this. But how do you think we? And I'm like, it took me a couple minutes to really process this. And I'm like, how do you think we got this? Do you think we eat bats too? And I'm just like, what the fuck? And then his daughter, who's 31, who just bought a house a couple of years ago, was a friend of hers. And on July 4th, she was out riding on the back of an ATV with her friend, and they got into an accident, and she broke her pelvis in two places, plus cracked a vertebrae. Small tiny girl. She's about a fuck 10. But she just came home last Friday. And she's a nurse's aide. She works in nursing homes and stuff, or nursing homes. And she's had infection. She has these four things stuck in her hip. This bar over across, and she's in a wheelchair right now. And she's doing pretty good. She's a real strong kid for her age. And I'm just like, yeah, but she had the shot. Yeah, but she's fighting an infection. Yeah, but she had the shot. And it's the same thing with his father. When I try to explain to him, your father's fighting off cancer. Yeah, but he got the shot. But it might not work because he's fighting cancer. It will be until the day he dies. Yeah, but he had the shot, so he's all right. Oh, no, oh, no, 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 no clue. And then his 33-year-old son lives in the basement. He's a little drunk. He went to, of all places, last week. Guess where? To go party. You still there, Bob?
Oh, I'm still here. I'm just kind of...
Take a guess. Take a guess where this stupid little drug dealer went to go party.
Tell me.
He went to Miami.
Of course. Say hello to my little friend.
Yeah. And I'm just like, and this kid, I'm just like, well, he's a kid to me. I changed his diapers. I took care of him. He walked out on them when they were 5 and 7. And I'm just looking at him going, I see him today for the first time, and I'm wearing a mask, and he goes into work. Looking at him going, well, did you have one when you were in Miami? You ain't going to get that shit. I'm just looking at him going, you're fucking boy. And he's supposed to be the smart one in the family, this kid. I'm looking at him going, if you get it, you deserve it. You deserve it. You know, and I'm just,
Well, I mean, you don't like coming to that conclusion, Carl, but how do you not? I mean, if somebody walks up to a boxer and says, punch me in the face, are we surprised if he gets punched in the face? I mean, you know.
Yeah. And the thing is, my best friend's father, my grandfather's best friend. Earlier, because I used to go to my grandfather's shop all the time. And I'm just going to die. And he understands this disease more than they do, but he's still... He wants me around his grandchildren, and I'm just like, I really just can't understand this shit. These people are so. Now, my buddy's son, all he does is steal coke and sit in his basement bedroom and play video games, but they're they're shooting up. I've never played video.
We're in the same place, Carl. You're rendered almost speechless. It's so breathtakingly simple to comprehend. You have to work really, really hard to dumb this up.
And they're dumbing it up.
Get the shot. Get the shot. Don't die.
And here's a kid who has so much fucking ink on him, gunned by his buddies who in their mother's basement or wherever the fuck he goes, because he doesn't pay much for him, because he might give him a fucking eight ball or whatever. And he shoves coke up his nose and doesn't know what the fuck is in that, but he's just saying, I don't want to get it. I don't want to look in the fucking shot. You have a problem with something? You're sticking something in your body? Now you do?
Yeah, because
worse than a baloney.
Right. The guys who are cooking up the coke, they're always meticulous and scrupulous, and you never get an eight ball that's been stepped on or anything.
Oh, that's the thing. I get rock. See, I get rock. It has to, and that's his word. It's stepped on, and I'm like, give me an ounce. You cut up your ounce. I'll give you back rock. I can take it in my garage and make rock out of it. How do you do that? I ain't telling you.
You're the dumbass.
I'm like,
right.
I can make rock out of it. I got a welding table. I got a press. I can make rock out of that. But I ain't gonna tell you. I didn't even tell him that. But I'm like, I got a hydraulic press. I can make rock out of an ounce of your crap. And you're gonna scratch your head wondering how I did it. I'm just like, you're fucking stupid. You think nobody's cut your shit up with what? You know what they cut it up with though? These are the new Smurfers. It's, they used to use inositol.
Yeah, inositol was a thing.
Now they get the capsules of caffeine because it's white.
Oh, of course.
Oh, yeah, and you don't even know. I haven't done coke in probably 30 years. I didn't, never really. I have ADHD, so when I do a line of coke, it kind of mellows me out. And then until I do like two or three lines and then I'm like gone the other way. But you want to find out if you have ADHD, do a line of coke. It brings you down where you go, hey, wow, I can read this book easily.
And then 30 minutes later, I want to read the book some more.
Yeah. But they use caffeine because it has a similar effect as coke does.
Sure.
It brings you up. Yeah. So, and it's cheap. So now they have, remember the Smurfers or Smurf, whatever they call them, getting the stuff, base for meth?
Oh, yeah.
They used to call them Smurfers. The people that used to go to the CVS and stuff like that. Now they have Smurfers for getting the caffeine tablets. Because if you go in and buy out the store of caffeine tablets, I think you keep doing that at the same store, you might have a cop detective following you.
They might figure out something after a while.
Yeah, you're not keeping your dog awake all night.
Yeah, guy sure does. He must be studying real hard. He buys a lot of no-dos.
Yeah, but then it's because it's white, too.
Yeah.
So, and I learned that off the little shithead there. But, it's just pissing me off. All these people like, it's just, why don't you get a second? People that I went to school with them on Facebook. Well, why don't you go, if you're so paranoid, why don't you get your second shot? Get a third one, too. I'm like, I'm just waiting.
If I could get a third shot right now, I would.
I would, too. Have something different just so I'm doubled up.
Yeah, and we talked a little bit about that on the program last night. Chris in Germany, you might be interested to know this. Chris in Germany sent me an article from Germany, and there's an actual
German word, because there's a German word for everything. I mean, right?
Oh, my mother's German. Please tell me.
Where is it? Daggum it. Oh, let's try this again. It's a really top shelf word. I'm gonna have to let me just scroll for a second here. The bottom line is that among some German medical circles, they're saying, "Oh no, oh rats." I lost Carl. But in some German medical circles, there it is. Are you back, Carl?
Yeah, I got Verizon and they suck.
Oh, I know. I do too, and they suck. No, it's perfect timing because it took me a minute to find the article from Chris. German words you need to know. Kreuzgeimpft. Kreuzgeimpft. Kreuzgeimpft.
K-R-A-R-what?
Kreuzgeimpft. Kreuzgeimpft.
P-F-T?
P-F-T.
Kreuzgeimpft?
Yes.
All right. I'll ask my mother.
It means cross-vaccinated.
Oh, okay.
No, that's people who got AstraZeneca and then got Pfizer, or got Pfizer and then got Moderna. And some German scientists are saying it actually provides greater resistance. Evidence shows that protection is improved with mix and match vaccines.
Yes, I would think so too, because I don't think the vaccines in the blood system would react on each other, but still, we haven't done enough testing in this country to warrant getting that, even though there's people that are trying to do it.
Right. So that's a word to hang on to. Kreuzgeimpft. I would like to be Kreuzgeimpft, but I can't figure out a way around the system. I can't figure out a way around the system so that I can go and get me a little blast of Moderna.
Are you still there?
Right here.
Okay. The thing I was telling you, my mother was born in post-war Germany, actually during the war. And the first time I went to Germany, I was 6 years old, and I got so many shots. And plus being in the military. Excuse me. Go.
And there was nobody out there protesting or picketing or screeching about their freedom.
No, I've gotten so many shots when I was in the military, and then when I went to the Gulf War, even before then. What are you shooting me with? You don't need to know. The only thing that really bothered me was when they gave us the anti-anthrax vaccine, and then they gave us all these tablets. It was supposed to do, I think, the first. After the shot, the two shots, you were supposed to do 8 tablets a day. They came in a shrink wrap package, and then so many weeks, and then 6, and then 4 or 5, whatever. And they gave me the shots, and I went to the library on Post. I looked up for the anthrax, and there wasn't anything. Once you got anthrax, you're dead, pretty much. So I didn't take, when I was in the Saudi Arabia, I wasn't taking the pill. And somebody just happened to say, how many are you down today? I'm like, I don't take that.
told somebody, and that person told somebody, and they made me take them in front of people.
Ooh.
And I'd put them in my mouth. And they turned around and sit them in the dirt. And that was one of the things that they were saying might have caused Desert Storm Syndrome, was the combination of the pills, this and that, the sand, who knows. You know, so I'm glad I didn't take all that. But, you know, there's a time and a place, but when there's a virus like this, especially that's mutating, we're on Delta now. Lambda is coming up from what, Florida or Texas?
California was, I think it's in California. I think it was first identified maybe in Peru.
Yeah. So when are we going to get another variant of this? And another variant?
Oh, I'm sure.
Variants are going to come out from?
Oh, I'm sure the spread neck geniuses in California are doing all they can.
But there's going to be a variant from Delta, and then a variant from Lambda.
Oh, we're going to run out. Yeah, at some point, if we don't get this under control, we're going to run out of Greek letters. We will go from Alpha to Omega.
Oh yeah, and then Zeta. Is it Zeta? Or is it?
No, Omega ends. Omega is the last letter in the Greek alphabet.
Oh, okay. And the other, I was trying to call Tom Hartman last week. My thing is, when people say, you know, but you know how big the virus is, it could go past that little fabric mask. But pretty much, saliva is sticky, even on a molecular level. That little virus has all those spikes sticking out of it. How is it going to get the chances of it getting out of that little, out of saliva? With all those little nodules sticking on it, it's probably very, very slim for it to get out of there to make it, you know, with the molecular size of the COVID virus. You know,
it gets out. The whole thing with the masks is, I mean, that's why we learn about things like, you know, N95 and N99. Our buddy Gary in New Mexico gave us a master class on that a couple of evenings. It all has to do with filtration standards for an EPA standard. There's PM10, particulate matter 10, and then there's particulate matter 2.5. And so if I'm saying it right, an N95 mask will filter 95%. Whereas an N99 mask will filter 99%.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is, when people say, well, the virus is so small, it'll go through that. But with saliva, which we're selling with the virus, it's probably not escaping the saliva. And the saliva is getting trapped in the mask along with the virus.
Well, yeah, the whole idea of the mask on the outward bound is that it's keeping you from spreading it out into the greater population.
Yeah.
And so if other people are masked, they're not spreading it to you. So it really makes abundantly clear, Carl, that, you know, the masks and the science is there. I mean, look, the flu numbers for 2020 were in the basement.
Went way down.
Yeah.
The last one, I'm like, no shit. What do you think? But it's going to be back next year.
Right, because the babies can't stand to wear a mask. And that's what they are, freaking babies.
Like my friend.
Yeah.
Like my buddy there. You know what it's like wearing a mask all day? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I do.
When I was in the Gulf War, trying to sleep with a mop, you know, with a respirator on. I've worked hazmat jobs, you know, where you're sitting in an excavator, or, you know, you're just, I'm not a laborer, but laborers, I used to feel so sorry to work with a respirator on in the summer, in the sun. And I'd be like, oh, I'm glad I don't have to, you know, be out there walking around and doing, you know, carrying shit and using a shovel and this shit, you know, with that on.
Right.
You know, but when I hear so many things, you know, but once in the Army, I used to have to, you know, especially when the Scuds went over, you know, you had to sleep with your mop suit on and your respirator and your, I think it's a fucking song now.
Yeah, and but the babies are, they can't stand to wear a mask.
Yeah. You always like wearing one of those. No, it's just like, really?
I know.
Yeah, I do know what it's like. I wore it all last year. I'm the same boat as you. I can't, when he said, you don't want to put it in that. Yeah, it kind of, if you don't think I do, they're all, at least where people don't look at you funny up here.
And
you, like,
I gotta make. Go ahead.
My wife set up the health. I'm right near, there's a couple rotaries, and my wife said they were the anti-vaccine and anti-mask people. They had their little, last Saturday morning, they had their little stand around the rotary with signs, you know, don't mask my children, blah, blah, blah. I want to make some signs just to stick up or to walk around, you know, because one of them was don't mask my kids, you know. Want to make some signs to stick in the dirt around them. Just that they, if they die, they die. Or, future, Darwin recipients this way, you know, things like that. And just maybe get a sign, but then if I was standing around those people with a sign, they might come up to me and breathe on me.
And but you know what's kind of odd? I mean, we got plenty of anti-maskers here in West Virginia, Carl. And yet, I had a doctor's appointment today, you know, Tuesday shot day. Agnes had an appointment. And so we went over to Somersville. We put on our masks. And you can't go through the door without a mask on. And all of a sudden, I guess they're in a doctor's office or something. Yep, they put the mask on. Or maybe it's only intelligent people go to the doctor now. I don't know. But there was no, you know, there's nobody out there standing around going, God damn it, give me a mask, unmasked face, or give me death. Or no, it's... Of course, maybe they recognize, hey, this is a medical facility. It's gonna have the virus in it. I don't know.
My wife works for large pediatrics office, two offices in two different towns right next to each other. And there's a lot of Russians in the area and Yugoslavians. And she says they're all of them. No vaccines, blah, blah, blah. And then, they walk in the office, no mask, and they have to yell at them. Not yell at them, but, you know, they're polite. You know, if you don't want to wear one, you got to go outside. You can't be in this office. You can't be in the waiting room. And if you don't want to wear one when your child comes in, do the exam outside. You know, it's just, these people, they just, and, you know, because I could understand Russians and Yugoslavians because there's such a history there of the government actually poisoning them and giving them, you know, killing them, you know,
right.
Especially Russians. But it's still, you know, they.
But this isn't there. This isn't there. Yeah. Hey, Carl, I got to run. I'm going to try to get a couple more calls in. I'm awfully glad you called, though. It's really good to hear from you, my friend. Please stay safe.
All right, thank you.
Please
very
stay
much.
Safe. Give my best to all the smart people.
I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Carl, take care. Our buddy Carl calling from Western Mass. Had a note from Tom and Sunny San Rafael. People who don't think masks work. I wonder if it would have made a difference, although it's too late now. If we'd started off calling them air filters and advertised them heavily, interspersed with the clip of T-Rump saying the virus spreads through the air. Think of the marketing possibilities. Fram and other brands, logos plastered all over the front, even NASCAR sponsors. Well, that's the funny thing. You know, the same people who won't put on a mask will pay $35 to rent headphones at a NASCAR race, for God's sakes. I mean, it's nothing but one contradiction after another. And thank you so much to Cynthia. Thank you, Cynthia. That was wonderful of you. So appreciated. We're now down below the $400 mark. We're down to $385. Thank you so much. That's so kind of you, Cynthia. Thank you. It is much appreciated. Um,
And let's check in one more call. I think is that you, Tracy? Hey, Tracy. Oh, wrong button. There. You there, Tracy?
Can you hear me?
I hear you.
Okay. I was just saying, hey, girl, hey, do I sound exasperated?
Hey, girl, hey, you do.
So, yeah, I'm just now, remember when we spoke earlier?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm just now leaving the the mechanic shop.
Oh, my, really? I mean, that's, yeah. Well, let's see. So it's 3:55. You've been there for, what, 5-6 hours?
Yeah, I'm here.
Well, what was it?
Water pump.
Oh, ugly.
Yeah, it was like, so I sat. I have to say, though, it's probably one of the nicest waiting rooms I've ever been in. They had a big screen TV, flat screen TV, had reclining the couch that, you know, reclines and stuff.
Yeah, because you're probably going to take a nap.
Oh, I was asleep. I was knocked the fuck out. I was just like, okay. And then Jan called me. She's like, are you still there? I'm like, honey, I would have called you to tell you I was on my way home. She's still freaked out about last night, you know.
Yeah.
The guy that came, you know. Quick story, family. Last night, I was on my way home from the airport, and it was about 10:45 p.m. my time. And Jan calls me. She's like, where are you? And I'm like, you know, somewhere on Sepulveda or whatever. And she's like, so that wasn't you at the door. And I'm saying, excuse me, what?
That wasn't who at the door.
So, yeah. So she, you know, she went and checked our ring, and some random kid, young adult, white kid, just was walked up and rang our doorbell, stepped back. Kimba, I guess, scared him, and he pretty much walked away. But come to find out, my neighbor, I texted my neighbor, he wasn't home, and he checked his cameras. He went to, like, he walked past two, down the street, walked past one of our neighbor's houses, walked and knocked on another neighbor's door, and nothing happened. Then he went and walked in front of my neighbor's house. There was no, he has a gate around the fence around the perimeter, so you can't walk up on his property. And he stood there for like 3 minutes and then came to our door. And, you know, and Jan being, you know, the older person she is, because she's like, well, I didn't get a chance to look out the window. I said, you didn't have to look out the window. That's the whole purpose of the ring. You can answer it from the phone and look at who's at the door. So now she's like, I didn't know you could do that. I'm like, oh, God. So now I got to show her again, because I know I showed it to her, how to.
And for God's sakes, don't say that.
Right.
Do not, you know, say that thing.
Right. Yeah. Right. So it's just, you know, and I posted the picture. I posted the video on the Ring neighborhood thing, and I get people saying, "Well, he might have needed help. That's really neighborly of you." And I'm thinking, white people, because I guarantee you,
oh yeah,
had that been a young black man, they wouldn't have been so magnanimous. Like, oh no, he needed help. I'm like, you know, nobody walks in my neighborhood. There's nobody that's walking around at 10:45 at night, you know, ringing doorbells, unless it's something that, you know, that they're up to no good. Crazy people. So yeah. So now she's super freaked out. I didn't work, you know, because I was going to work today. I didn't think it was going to take forever at the shop. And so she texted me earlier. She's like, can you come home and let's hang out? Because I really don't want you working late tonight. And I mean, I can't blame her.
No, that's unsettling. You know? And, you know, dude was just kind of wandering from house to house.
Mm-hmm. Just from house to house to house.
Skinny little white boy.
Uh-huh. Skinny little white boy, but again, if he had been a skinny little black boy, the conversations would have been different.
Well, you know, can you say Skittles in an Arizona iced tea?
Right. Thank you. So, you know, that we would have had helicopters circling the neighborhood and all this other stuff. But again, it's just like, yeah, you know, it tickles me, or rather saddens me, the reaction of people when, you know, they, oh, it's just a kid. He was just probably, and I'm like, well, I don't know what he was probably doing, but I don't want to know. And thank God for Kim, because y'all have heard that bark.
Yeah, Kimber, it's impressive.
Kimber's bark is impressive. And it's like, yeah, you know, because when she barked, he stepped back from the door. And so, but anyway. So how's everything? Have we gotten any more hits for the horn in?
No, but we're, you know, I've had a couple of inquiries.
Well, see, here's the thing, people. You know, inquiries is okay and all that, but Miss Robin has to make reservations, you know, so we can have some place to sleep, because I really am not an outdoor person, so I'm not going to camp. That's, you know, I'm not going to pitch a tent in her front yard and sleep on the ground. So we need people to make that definite thing so she can make reservations and won't be out of pocket, you know, that part. I'm just saying, I'm just putting it out there.
Well, I mean, everything you say is true.
You know, we need a little more sense of urgency. And especially saying that you're leaving this time next week, you're going to be gone for how long?
I'll be gone through August and then, like, home on the 2nd of September. My appointment's on September 1st in Birmingham. And like I said, I set up a beach vacation. Because I don't get vacations. I set that up back in April when, you know, yay, we're vaccinated. Everybody's going to have brains and everybody's going to be smart. And we're going to stop this shit in its tracks. Don't laugh. And, you know, it could be that all my COVID fears and everything are just cover for, I don't know, first time in a swimsuit fear. Or first time in a girl swimsuit fear.
Yeah, see, like I said, I'm not putting all this in a swimsuit. The next swimsuit I will be wearing will be a burqa.
New from Afghan Industries, it's the swim burqa. It's taking Kandahar by storm. That's probably too soon.
That's too soon. Too soon. That what's going on there is painful to watch. I don't really understand the whole basis behind what they're doing, but to me it just seems like wasn't it a little extreme to take everybody out and just expect for the people in Afghanistan just to all of a sudden be able to fend for themselves?
Well, I mean, we spent a bajillion dollars on giving them an army, but I had a fact earlier in the program, Tracy, somewhere along the way, it may have been a clue, according to this report, that, you know, we lost almost 2,400 American service personnel in Afghanistan. The Afghan National Army, on the other hand, lost 66,000.
Wow.
And so maybe, I mean, I've been pretty rough on the Afghan army and Afghan men in general for, you know, shitting their pants and throwing their rifles down and running like hell. Because, I mean, the Taliban weren't really even doing a bunch of shooting. It was just like, hey, the Taliban's coming. Well, fuck, I'm out of here. But apparently they weren't very good at it.
Got it.
And apparently they weren't buying into all the promises of an afterlife much either. So, you know, there went that.
It was just
destined to fail. We lost the minute we started it. And I said that 10 plus years ago.
didn't Russia try to do stuff in Afghanistan and they got their asses handed to them?
Yep. But you know, well, you know, we're America. We got American exceptionalism. We, you know, it was a bunch of commies.
Right.
Like all of a sudden, we forgot the fact that they that at tremendous cost threw back the entire Wehrmacht from the Eastern Front.
Right. I feel bad for the women.
I feel horrible for them. No, I think there should be like an almost like Marshall Plan airlift to get every woman and girl child out of Afghanistan and just leave the boys to have at it.
Right, just, you know, go do what you do.
Y'all go lop heads.
You know, just whatever floats your boat, just go for it.
And I know that makes me seem terribly, terribly insensitive, but, you know, damn. And I mean, if we're really, really committed to women's rights in Afghanistan, maybe the thing to do is to get the women out of Afghanistan so they can have rights.
Right.
Because, you know, the Taliban 2.0 is now saying, well, you know, we will allow them to appear in public and study within the parameters of Islamic law. You know how they're going to read Islamic law.
Right.
Because what the Taliban were doing for the first time through ain't in Islamic law.
No.
It's in some idea of it.
It's their interpretation of set law.
Yeah.
And all that good shit.
It's all, because there's people out there right now in the 21st century who say that, I see them here in West Virginia. You can spot them from a mile away in Wally World. Women wearing long, shapeless denim skirts that go all the way down to their ankles. More or less shapeless blouses, and they're not. Their men don't allow them to cut their hair, so it's piled up to Jesus. And it's just who they are, and that's their interpretation of what God wants them to do. I still haven't figured out, because, I mean, it is in the Bible. I haven't figured out why God's so obsessed with women's hair.
I don't get it.
But they're apparently they're apparently, and I use they, them for God, they're apparently also obsessed with women opening their mouths and talking at the wrong time.
And at the wrong time and you know, wearing pants and
all that be silent in church bullshit.
Right. Not so much speaking of be silent, speaking of church, I went and saw the Aretha Franklin biopic on Sunday.
How was it?
I enjoyed it. I mean, it's getting fair to middling reviews, but nobody who has reviewed it, I think, was black.
Well, I mean, why would you want any black people to review a movie about a black woman? I mean, come on.
Yeah, no. But I enjoyed it. And because if you don't, I don't know how many people realize this, but Aretha Franklin was intensely private about everything. From her, she got pregnant, but she had two kids by the time she was 14. And she never told anybody who the baby daddy was. She wouldn't talk about, this abuse she suffered with. It's one of those, the secrets that people know but don't tell, or what one of the
right.
kept, And it's like, she lived in a life of denial. And she's, like most black women, especially women who came over through the Middle Passage, that's how you dealt with trauma. It didn't happen. And we'll actually look at, there's one scene when her sisters were talking about how their parents used to go at it. And Aretha's like, what are you talking about? That didn't happen. And they're looking at her like, bitch, is she crazy? I mean, it's just... That's just the, because I know for a fact, when my siblings and I and my mom were talking about stuff that happened you know, and I actually don't remember. And I know, you know, that is part of me is, you know, there's parts of my life that I have purposely forgotten, and it's just a coping mechanism. And I'm not, I know there's a lot of people who do that. And you don't even realize what you're doing. It just didn't, you know, it just didn't happen. So as I don't talk about it, and, you know, and that's how, you know, a lot of my members dealt with the trauma of when they left the South to come out here to California. We don't talk about what happened because we don't
let the dead past bury its dead.
Right. And so that, you know, that means that's why I know very little about my family history, because it was, you know, I mean, my from what I understand, my great grandfather and his brothers had to leave Shreveport because they killed somebody. It's self-defense, of course. You know.
Yeah.
But, you know, they were literally running, you know, a lot of black folks that left the South in, you know, during the Great Migration were literally running for their lives. So it's, you know, but anyhow, enough of that. So I don't want anything. I just wanted to vent because I was just like...
Because you had such a lovely day, and there weren't even any cupcakes involved, nor donuts. Damn it!
No cupcakes, no donuts. But I will rectify that situation tomorrow. Rather, I need help.
Are you powerless over the cupcakes, and your life has become unmanageable?
Especially with the cupcakes, with the donuts. It's the donuts.
They were a passing novelty, but the donuts, well.
It's the donuts. And now that I've, you know, now my latest obsession is the strawberry frosted glazed donut. And, you know, it's a sickness. I'm powerless against it, but I'm going to get control over the situation. I got to, but I just, you know, but anyway, I just wanted to say hi and to, and to light a fire and to some of my family members' asses to say, instead of like, well, I don't know, maybe I think so, to kind of, for sure, I don't know, to, okay, goddammit, I'm coming and here's my money.
Right. Yeah. And it'd be a lot easier if we filled out all the slots, right quickie like, then I can, you know, I got a lot better chance at getting good accommodations. The longer we wait, the sketchier it gets.
Because, like I said, I am not sleeping outside.
No. Nobody's going to sleep outside.
I won't do it. I would go. You know, my idea of roughing it is staying at a hotel that does not have room service.
Girl, you're going to be roughing it.
That's as close to roughing it as I'm going to get.
But then again, okay. I mean, it's not exactly room service, but, you know, all your cooking will be done.
Hey, I'm fine with that. Like I said, my idea of roughing it is, like I said, staying in a hotel that, you know, that doesn't have room service. Other than that, you know, anything beyond that, I can't.
There is a difference. It's like the difference between naked and naked.
Naked and naked. Exactly. So anyway, I'm gonna go ahead and sign off so you can sign off. You have a good rest of the evening. Hey, rest of the family. Hopefully by tomorrow, I'm just, because I had a day yesterday and a day today. Wednesday has to be better.
Wednesday has to not be a day.
Has to be not be a day. I don't think that's too much to ask. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, one day out of the week not be a day.
Right, just one day.
By the way, one thing to add to your list, maybe before you get home. Uh-huh. Do you know what kind of batteries your Ring takes?
No.
Might want to check that.
Yeah.
But
I'm going to look into, because I was looking on the site, and they have solar power, to keep your ring going, so you don't have to worry about the batteries.
That's nice.
But I'm going to, yeah, so I'm going to get that, you know, have our handyman install that for us.
Call the guy.
Because I'm going to call the guy and have him install it so Jan will rest easy.
And you will too.
So anyway, I am out.
You drive. You please drive carefully heading home. I know you always do, but still.
Of course. And I will talk to you soon.
All right, sounds lovely. You take care, Tracy.
All right, you too. Bye bye.
Bye now. The one and only Tracy, lady cab driver, having lady cab driver troubles. God, water pump. Oof. I remember changing a water pump once on a little truck I had. The impeller was it was worn down to where it looked like a carnival pinwheel. Yeah. So we are out of here, but not before I say some thank yous. Thank you very kindly to Colin. Thanks so much, Colin. And thanks for the matching challenge earlier, Ralphs. Thank you so much. So Colin got us down to 350. We're $50 away from being done. With, $25 away from being done with yesterday. So tomorrow we will be at $625. So thank you, everybody who jumped in and helped out so much. Thank you so very much indeed. And I'm just going to have to sit here and ponder the whole idea of going on the road. I want to really badly, but oh my God, that's just, ugh. I don't know. We'll see. But thanks to each and every one of you who are PayPal or Patreon subscribers. Thank you so much. Thanks to our a la carte contributors. You are all, as partial sponsors of the program, why this program is on the air at all and has been for so long. Oh, thank you, Faith. That's so sweet. Total love coming your way. Thank you. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in this little long-running conversation. You're what makes it, not me, you. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, brand new Fresh Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is, of course, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. This would be a great time to reach out to your member of Congress and ask them to co-sponsor H.R. 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, the AIC Act. It means the world to Appalachia. Please, please stay safe. Get your vaccine if you haven't already. Most of us have. Keep an eye out for when you can get that booster. Encourage someone who's unvaccinated to get their vaccine. Maintain all your first-line defenses, just like Paul from Parts Unknown has been teaching us for well over a year and a half. Wear your mask. Don't touch your face. Wash your hands frequently. Carry hand sanitizer everywhere you go. Pocket purse, European-style messenger bag, backpack, who cares? And use it. Use it frequently. Wear gloves. Gloves are good. Sanitize the gloves before you take them off. Don't fuck around with these variants. Don't do it. Maintain your social distance 15 to 20 feet, if at all possible. And, if somebody comes towards you saying, well, I mean, you know, if a youngin' gets it, they might get the sniffles. Avoid that person like the plague. Because he is. Later.